When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's the best show. What's up, everybody? I'm Tom, and I'm here to tell you that we're going to have a good time tonight with the show. The topic tonight, what is the most boring thing to talk about, most boring subset, whatever we want to call it? Is it people who talk about fantasy sports? Is it people who talk about quitting social media? Tonight, we will get to the bottom of it. We also have our guest in studio. We're going to have Nick Thorburn. He of Islands and Mr. Heavenly and a lot of other things. And we'll talk to him about all sorts of things and other things going on. And it's the best show. What do you want me to tell you? What do you think it's going to be? It's the best show, right, Mike? Yeah, Mike's fired up because Dudio's not here tonight. Mike's fired up. No Dudio means Smiling Mike is back. How about that? Best show. Show. What's up, everybody? How are you tonight? My name is Tom. I'm the host of the show. Welcome here on this weird weather here. Strange weather. Yesterday was torrential floods for about 2 hours. And then it was sunny. And then now today was oddly cold. Whoa, who knows what's going on with the weather, right? Phone number 201-332-3484 if you want to get in on the action here on The Best Show. What do I want to tell you? We just heard from Islands from their album Arms Way. Creeper! Came out 10 years ago. Anti records. What do I want to tell you guys? Let's see. Well, the topic today is who is the most boring? Now, I don't mean specifically. I don't want everybody to say AP Mike's the most boring. Like this is not an invitation to say that Mike is boring or... No. We're talking about groups of, coin collectors? Is that a thing? Do people still collect coins? I don't know. I don't know if coin collectors are boring. I think coin collecting might be boring. Who knows? Let's find out. Talk to you all about it. And we're here tonight. We got Pat. How are you tonight, Pat? Pat's very good. Mike, you good? He's feeling good. Dudio is on assignment. And I'll tell you, you should see that pep in Mike's step. I tell you, this guy's, he's moving around. Am I wrong, Pat? Am I wrong about Mike as a pep in his step now that there's no Dudio tonight? Yeah, he's got a liveliness to him that has been absent for 3 years. Since December of 2014. Now, Mike, you better wrap your head around it because Dudio is here to stay. Like it or not, Mike, Dudio is here to stay. And I like Dudio. I think there would be no show without Dudio. So open your heart to him, Mike. Open your heart to Dudio, would you? For once in your life? And you can shut the heat off if you don't mind. I feel like I'm warm enough now. Who's good here, Mike? Line one. Line one's good. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom. It's Thomas in Virginia.
Thomas in Virginia. What part of Virginia are we talking about here?
The Shenandoah Valley area.
What's that? What's the Shenandoah Valley area? What is the what's the big city in the Shenandoah Valley area?
No big cities. Just a lot of little towns going down the valley from Winchester all the way down to Tennessee.
When you need something, if you need to get a book that's hard to find, where would you go?
Assuming I wasn't going to order it online, I guess I would try to go to D.C. probably, but that would be a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So what's going on tonight?
Well, I think I've started it off on the right track with boringness. You know,
talking about... You're not boring. You're not boring.
I was a little boring. Thinking about what a good topic. And I think one of the most boring things you can try to talk to people about, if it doesn't concern them, is your fantasy sports team. And I'm in the Best Show
e-cigarette
baseball
for legs.
League.
E-cigarette for legs. I got him. And let me say this. You're not the e-cigarettes for legs guy. I want to say this. I know who that guy is. I know. I went to a rock show a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia. Somebody told me who he was. I know who you are. I know who you are, e-cigarettes for legs guy. It's not this snooze on the line. It's no, and you're not a snooze. Look, you seem like a great guy. You know, I'm just teasing you, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I do, Tom.
So you think fantasy sports are the most? It's like the most boring subset. Is a subset what we should be calling? Right, that's the little like the community, right?
Yeah, especially I find it interesting to talk with people who also play fantasy sports. But before I get carried away with this, though, I am curious how your league ended up. I know you said you made it to the finals.
Made it to the finals. I lost in the finals. And I'll say this. I've made it to the finals 5 years in a row in my league. That means I've come in second four, and I've won once. And I've come in second four times and first once. You tell me that's not a hallmark of quality. And I'll say this also. 5 years. Have I matched up against the same person twice? No, it's always a different person in the finals I'm up against. Does that speak volumes to that says more than almost any. I've never faced one of these clowns twice. They can't get back. I get back 5 years in a row. All right.
It shows savvy.
Yeah, I'm good at it.
Do you draft well?
I do. I draft well, and I ride the waiver wire like nobody's business. Now, see, this was an example of how boring this is.
Exactly.
Everyone else is saying right now, like, oh, it feels like they're getting syrup poured on their heads.
Is it a redraft league, or is it a keeper league?
It's a redraft. Redraft. What do you think? Okay. Keeper league. Keeper league. If it's a keeper league, I'd win every year the way I draft.
Well, I think I have I've made my point about how boring it is, and
so you're in a fantasy baseball league.
I'm in actually the Best Show Fantasy Baseball League,
and that's organized by who now? Who runs that? Avalanche Bob or something, right?
He's the commish. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Mike, I'm gonna draft Aaron Judge on my team now. I gotta.
I actually, my team name is Dudio themed, believe it or not.
Really? What is it?
All right. It is Dudio PS. And OPS is a type of sabermetric analysis.
Oh, this is so boring. This is so boring. You know how I know this is boring? I was fascinated when I was just talking about my team. I'm bored listening to you talk about yours. I got bored. I can only imagine how boring. It's all boring. Fantasy basketball is fantasy sports way up there on the list of what's the most boring thing you'd talk about. Okay. Mike, mark that down. Fantasy sports. Anything else, my friend?
Thanks, Tom. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye. Best show. Hi.
Hi. Is this Fantasy Sports Talk?
No, it's not. We're talking about whatever. All right, what's up with your phone line there, Chief? What's going on?
Is it better now?
A little better.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Paul in Queens.
Paul in Queens. What's up, Paul?
I have one for the topic. I think the most boring subset of people are beer snobs.
Ah, beer. Yes, a beer snob. Someone talking about beer. Wait, what was that, man? Is that your cat?
Yeah, she wants to talk.
Put your cat on. What's your cat's name?
All right. Hey. Hey, you want to talk about beer snobs, too?
What's that cat's name?
Foo.
Foo?
Foo. F-O-O.
Like a Foo Fighter?
Well, that's not where her name comes from, but yeah, like that.
Where's her name come from?
Well, it's kind of a boring story. She's a Siamese cat, and the Thai or Siamese word for friend is Fuan, so I call her Fu for short.
That's nice. That's not boring. That's nice.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody's so worked up now, they're afraid they're going to be boring. No, that's not boring. That's nice. It's a cute little story.
Thank you.
So like a beer snob. Are you a beer? Where do you stand on all this stuff, Paul? What's your choice of alcoholic beverage?
Well, I like beer, and I guess I have go-tos, but I just feel like people who are so particular about what beer is the good beer and what beer is the bad beer, and they'll just go on and on about craft beer, and there's not a lot of difference between them.
No, that's why, all right, your cat's, all right, we got it. Now, this AP Mike, you know this guy works on the show?
Yes.
Right. He was saying to me, he was talking about beer, and he thinks he's a beer snob. He's a beer slob, is what he is. He's a beer slob.
Is he still working through that Kirkland Light?
Oh yeah, he was telling me about the hints of what he was getting. He's like, if you take
aluminum?
He's like, Kirkland Light has hint. Yeah, he said aluminum. It has hints of aluminum. And he said the best thing about the Kirkland Light is that when you throw up, you get like an oaky. You get just like undertones of oak twice.
Sure, that's how you really appreciate it.
Yeah. He likes the Kirkland Light, the Costco beer.
Yeah. That's good. It's working out.
Yeah, it's working out for him. All right, your cat's driving me nuts now. Get off my phone. This guy's cat. Loud cat. Loud cat. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Jeremy in Baltimore.
Jeremy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on? Where are you now? Where are you in Oakland? You're in Oakland?
Baltimore.
So what's going on in Baltimore tonight?
I got something for the topic.
All right. Nothing's going on in Baltimore. What do you got? That's what I got. What do you got?
I think hearing people talk about craft beer is really boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the last guy said.
Darn it.
Well, give me some things about craft beer that, like, if somebody's talking about it, it'd drive you nuts. Like, what? Do an impression of someone talking about craft beer.
I feel like watching someone take a sip of something and then they go, I actually like this one.
You mean like they're afraid somebody's going to judge them for liking it?
Yeah, or like they're surprised that they like another craft beer that they're taking a sip of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a weird community. Tell you one thing, you know where you're not going to run into that is when AP Mike's behind the bar. Ain't no threat of beer snobs going on there, huh, Mike? Right? You go where Mike is, the guy will say, I'll be like, yeah, look, you can see I prefer this beer because when I throw up on my shirt, it doesn't stain it as badly. Like, that's the level of beer snobs that Mike's dealing with. All right.
Can we get a list of the beers that Mike serves at Nassau's?
I can do that right now. Bud. That's it. That's the list. Bud. It's a three letter list. No, they got Bud. They got everything. Bud, Bud Light, Coors Light, Michelob, PBR, Genesee. What else you got, Mike? Schlitz? Yingling, Schlitz. All the good stuff. Parking lot beers. That's what it's called. A great parking lot beer. Beers that generally are bought by underage kids begging people in parking lots of liquor stores. Hey, can you, would you be able to get me and my friends a 12-pack? What do you want? Bud Light? Yeah, sure, kid. If somebody asked you at this point in your life, if you were in the parking lot of a liquor store and someone asked you to buy them beer, what would you do?
Is it immoral to say that it would kind of depend on the delivery?
Depend on the delivery? What do you mean?
Like how it was asked.
No, that's not immoral. Well, like how so? Like what would be a good version of that would make, what would make you do it?
That's a good question.
Excuse me, sir. I'll try a couple for you.
Sure.
Excuse me, sir. I just wanted to know. Me and my friends are looking to hang out, and I wanted to know if you could pick us up a 12-pack of beer tonight.
I think I would appreciate it if they were more confident.
Ah, more confident. Okay, how about like this? Hey. Hey, you. I want beer. You look old. Get it for me. Is that confident? Is that too confident?
I kind of appreciate that.
But you would still do it?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
If they bossed you around, you do. So they're just, this is just tapping into your this is just tapping into old hauntings of your past. You're just ready to get bullied.
But also, if they asked for something kind of weird, that not beer.
If a kid asked you to pick him up a thing of peach schnapps, you do that?
I think I would have to.
All right. What if he asked you to buy him one of those Dan Aykroyd skulls of vodka?
I have not heard of this.
Yeah. The vodka skull filled with vodka.
Wait, but Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd threw his name on it, yeah.
Wow.
I guess he doesn't have enough money from Ghostbusters. Just the $800 million he got from Ghostbusters wasn't enough. He had to slap his name on a vodka.
It's like a weird answer to Coppola's Vineyards or something.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd's skull. We should get an AP Mike beer. That's what we should finally. This is where this is all building toward. Isn't it, Mike? Some sort of AP Mike beer? And just picture people go, give me a cold Mike. Right? No, there's Mike's hard lemon. That won't work. Give me an AP, right? That's what they'll call it. Give me an AP. An AP, Mike's, now Mike's get, what are you doing, wordplay out there? What are you, Elvis Costello Jr.? APIPA, no. Because of what Mike said, I'm saying to you, get off my phone. That's how bad what Mike just said was. I hung up on someone that didn't say it. You just took the hit for Mike. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, Avalanche Bob, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Avalanche Bob. Look at this.
I hope I'm not boring you.
No, you're not boring me.
I hear the topic tonight is about boring, right?
Wait, the topic? You know we have a topic?
Yeah, of course I know. You have a topic about boring, and what bores me is when people look up at millions of stars in the sky and billions of planets and say there's no life on this earth. That bores me. And some of the music today is really boring, and there's a lot of good music today, like Imagine Dragons and 30 Seconds to Mars and people like that.
Is that good or bad?
About stupid politicians. Argue with one another. That bores me.
Yeah. Is 30 Seconds to Mars good or bad?
30 Seconds to Mars is a great band.
Okay.
Walk on Water. And also Imagine Dragons.
You like them?
They're great, man.
Uh-huh. All right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm as into them as you are.
Oh. And, You never bore me.
Oh, it's nice of you to say. I appreciate that. So
you never bore me, and I thank you so much for supporting and doing all you've done for me. And I don't want to promote myself, so I'm not going to say anything.
No. You do. You well. You got a record out. Mike loves this record. AP Mike loves this record.
Oh,
he drives around. He drives around Bayonne.
It's being played on Bennett Show in Los Angeles Radio. It's been played in WEBN Radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to get it on some more stations. And things are looking good. And things are really still getting out there.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Mike rides around Bayonne and blasts out of his window.
Mm-hmm. And listen, I've changed the name of Snowboard Revolution because of all these superheroes on the Olympics. I call it now the Superboard Revolution because what they do is absolutely like superheroes, man. They're jumping the high buildings.
It kind of is like superheroes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is getting bigger, and I thank you so much for all you've done.
Well, I try to promote the arts.
Mm-hmm. And I hope everything's good with you. And,
it is. Thanks for asking.
As I said, you have done so much for me, and I didn't want to bore you, and I don't want to bother you if I'm bothering you too much.
Oh, you're not bothered. You're not bothered. You could never be a bother.
Oh, because maybe I was calling too much and people got upset.
Oh,
don't worry.
You could never be a bother. You could never be
a bother. Oh, great.
Don't you worry.
And would you like to hear a little song?
Sure.
Okay. No bone be hot dog be yet no bone no be long. No bone be hot dog be so bone I belong. No bone super bone baby super bone is out of time. Baby ride the super bone all day long and rock and roll it all the night. Singing tick tack a doo na tick tack a doo na yo lo 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 lo. Singing tick tack a doo na tick tack a doo na yo lo 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 lo. Singing tick tack a doo na tick tack a doo na yo lo 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 lo. Hey bop rock a nigga punk a do 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 do. Radio to lead bop. Well, you do the iron cross, you do the triple cross, you do the double somersault too. When you flip around and you turn around, baby, down you want to do. No born, baby, hot dog, and baby, yes, no born, no baby wrong. Super born, baby, hot dog, and baby, no born, you can't go wrong. Double born, baby, no born, baby, no born, bring it all the time. Baby, ride super born all day long, baby, ride super born all day long. And rock and roll it all the night.
Oh, you got me on that last note. Hot
you like
what's
it?
That song called? Hot Dog?
That is one of my snowboard songs from a musical I wrote called Snowboarder from Hell.
Okay, I love it. Wow.
You like it?
It's a modern-day classic. It's like Shawshank.
Yeah, man. And so, Tom, thank you for everything, and I won't call you so much about it.
Oh, you're all right. You call whenever you want. I'll give you Mike's number to call. You call him. When you don't call me,
and
you call Mike.
And Pat said hello. And Patty, you're good. You're the whole bunch.
You hear that, Pat?
Love you guys.
Bye, buddy. It's a good guy, Mike. I don't know why you don't like him. He likes you. Just give him your home number and address. Let him come by. Right? Just hang out. Do whippets with him. Best show. It's the show. Best show. Best show. theme. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Lori.
Lori from Miami.
Yeah. I have something for the topic, but first I really do have to correct something. Maggie and I were certain that the young man who so kindly hooked me up with the recording of our call to Dottie was named Daniel. In fact, his name is Andrew, and I just needed to correct that.
That is, I appreciate it. It has been corrected. You hear that, Andrew? You did.
Yes, thank you, Andrew.
You're back in the column, Andrew.
Yes, yeah. He's got good karma coming his way, if you believe in that. I don't know if I do.
I do.
Okay, well, he's got it coming to him. That's good karma.
Yeah, you hear that, Andrew?
Sure.
But conversely, Daniel has bad karma coming to him for for pretending he got you a tape of your late father talking. He's a fraud.
I don't know why.
It's like stolen valor.
Is he said, is his name Daniel? And Maggie said, yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely Daniel. Yeah. So, I don't know.
So,
yeah.
What do you have for the topic, Lori?
Well, it's kind of a twist on the topic, but like...
Normal topic's not good enough for you. Somebody's got to flip the script. Remix.
Just listen to me. It's what other people find boring,
okay,
but I find interesting.
Right, that's
so
fair.
It's still pertinent.
Sure.
So, you know, I've been out of town. I run into a neighbor that I used to see at the gym across the street a lot, and we're catching up, having, you know, a nice chat. Happy Passover, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I said, if you have a minute, I'm working on a campaign for a nonprofit. She's like, I'm not interested. I know where this woman lives.
Yeah.
I know she can spare $5.
Well, she only likes profit things.
She
didn't even know what the thing was. She just doesn't like things that don't make a profit.
But speaking of that, Giving Out Tuesday is tomorrow. Do you want to hear about my campaign briefly?
Yes, let's hear about it.
Okay, sure. I'm happy to talk about it. So I'm with a group called Southerners on New Ground. We've been around 25 years, founded about 25 years back by three black lesbians and three white lesbians. And last year, as part of the national bailout, we bailed out 20 women from jail to reunite them with their families on Mother's Day. This year, we're really trying to find transgender and gender nonconforming folks in jail because it's hard to. So we've been reaching out directly to the trans community to find these folks, since arresting officers often misgender them, and then they're kept in isolation, and it's not a good time for them. So we want to bail them out and reunite them with their families on Mother's Day. If you want to find out more, my Twitter is no longer Sad Gal Lori. It is Posicore Lori. That's POSICORE, and then my name. I think most of the listeners might know it's me. I don't know where that tone of voice came from, but it's Laurie. And I have a tweet pinned there with the bit.ly link, which is bit.ly. I really should have this open, right? Hold on, I've got it. bit.ly/songgiveout-pledge18. And that's it. And if anyone wants to give, Give Out Day is tomorrow.
They
help
can go check out.
Help liberate some transgender and gender nonconforming people and reunite
them with their
families.
That's a good charity, and they can go find out about it at your Twitter.
Yes, and or the link I just gave out. And I thank you so much for your time,
Tom. Of course.
I appreciate it so much.
Don't worry.
And have a good one.
And you have
my
a great
cat was right next to me and did not meow, by the way.
You have a great one. You wish me a good one.
Bye.
I wish you a great one.
You have a great one. You have a better one than mine.
You have the best one. Bye. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Is it me?
What, are you having a bad night?
No, let me turn my radio down.
Turn the radio down.
All right. Yeah, this is Tom from Long Island. How are you?
Tom from Long Island. What's up in Long Island tonight? What are you doing?
It's kind of boring.
What? What's so boring? You can't go to the Panera Bread? Seems like there's a lot of Panera Breads out on Long Island.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah, Panera Breads, Taco Bells, and Chipotle.
Yeah, living it up, right?
Yeah, totally, man. You're so I got one or two for the topic.
Let's hear it.
People telling you their dreams.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah, like they're just, look. I can analyze anyone's dream. Anybody starts telling me their dream, I'll tell you right what your dream means. You're not going to want to hear it, but I'll tell you. I'll strip right through your subconscious. You'll just go, oh no, is that who I am? I'll do that.
Yeah, man.
But when somebody tells you the dream, and it just is a little too long with the thing, it's like in real time.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like, it was you, it wasn't you, it was day, but it wasn't day, and things like that. Yep.
Look, if somebody wants to tell a dream and it's just like, yeah, and then I got my arm chopped off, it's like, okay, that's an exciting dream.
Right.
I'll hear that dream, right?
Yeah, or unless it sounds like a David Lynch movie or something, but
yeah, well,
it never works out that way.
I'll hear a dream like that or something's got some action in it.
Yeah, exactly. I got one more related to that.
What do you got?
Getting trapped in a long, interminable joke. When someone's telling you one.
Yeah, well, that's just boring.
Yeah.
That's just boring. That's just, yeah.
All right, I'll cut it off before I get boring.
Great night. Great call, Tom.
All right.
How you doing tonight, Mike? You guys order pizza? I love that Dudio's not here. Suddenly the pizza gets ordered a little earlier. Well, last week Pat was, I think they had to bring the pizza in from Connecticut. He ordered it so late. The only pizzeria that would deliver was out of state. Tell you, it's a slap in the face to Duty. I'm a little offended on his behalf. It's a slap in the face. The pep in the step. I like this. Somebody tweeted, Dudio tweeted this, actually. Or whoever's running the Best Show account. Retweet if you think AP Mike should give Avalanche Bob his home number. I would agree with that. I think that's a wise... I'd like to see that. Best Show, hi.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Angela in Ithaca.
Angela in Ithaca. Every time someone calls whose name is Angela, you know
how I... You're going to call me Danza me?
Well, now I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
Angela! Of course I am. I can't not do it.
I know, it's tempting.
If somebody calls and their name is Christopher, you know what they get. Christopher.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
They go well together.
Yeah. What's going on tonight, Angela?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So I have one for the topic.
The most boring groups. What do you got?
Okay. Well, it's kind of throwing some people I know and care about under the bus, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I think the most boring group are people who talk about their food intolerances.
Mm. Now, look, I'll say this. If people talk about their food intolerance and they're doing it because they don't want to die.
That's different.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. If you're talking about it because you're just like, hey, could you not put any nuts in the food because it'll make me die. My lungs will, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. So
I think there's a difference between an allergy and a quote-unquote intolerance.
Yeah. But give me an example of somebody talking about a food intolerance that you don't like.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, it's a big thing here. Everybody's grain-free, gluten-free, paleo, keto. There's ones I haven't even, not quite sure
Mike,
what they are.
It's paleo. Mike does this paleo thing.
He's paleo?
Yeah. Which means you eat, he was telling me, it means you eat the way a caveman would eat. Right?
Yeah, you have to club your food.
Yeah, so he's running around. And he's eating pizza, right? And then I'm like, what are you doing eating pizza? And he goes, ooga booga.
What's that?
He starts acting like a caveman eating pizza. I'm like, that's not the paleo thing, Mike. It's like the whole point is not. Then he starts eating biscotti, like a biscotti. It's like, caveman didn't have biscotti, and he goes, ugh. And I'm like, this is not a cave.
That's great.
Yeah. So. Yeah, food intolerance. I gotcha.
I think it's tiresome.
All right. I gotcha, Angela.
Okay.
You have a
good night.
You too. Bye. Hey, Mike. Are either of my, is Nick here? Why don't you send him in? We'll stagger people. We got someone else hanging out here. You think it's the NAMM show with the level of rockers we got hanging around tonight, right? You think it's the NAMM show up in this piece? In the meantime, I'll take a call. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Quentin from Los Angeles.
Quentin from Los Angeles. Are you famous? You're not famous, are you?
Not that I know of, no. Hopefully.
Because there's a Quentin who's the... Burt Reynolds' son is named Quentin. You're not Burt Reynolds' son.
You know what? I'm not gonna confirm or deny that.
Okay, you won't confirm or deny whether you're Burt Reynolds' son. I'm gonna assume you're not. I'm just gonna take the leap on this.
Yeah, that's a safe assumption.
Yeah. So what's up? Where in LA are you? Let me see if I can guess.
Sure.
Where is it now? Where are you?
I'm in a town called Monterey Park. It's closest to basically East LA.
Monterey Park?
Yeah.
Now, what's out there?
A lot of restaurants.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah, of course. Yeah,
nothing really special.
Oh, there's an area of LA that's got a ton of restaurants? Oh, that stretch of LA that's just food?
Yeah.
Food-based?
Yeah, you know that one?
Yeah. The food economy in Los Angeles, the only thing... keeping that city going.
Yeah, that's what we got going for us.
Yeah. So what's up, Quentin? What do you got for the topic tonight?
Okay, I got a few, but chiefly, and it's one that has been just popping up more and more lately, at least in my circle.
Yo, what is it? Just say it. What are you doing, a preamble
okay.
here? What are you trying to
there is a
burn
huge,
time on the Senate floor?
Yeah, right. I'm trying to filibuster you, Tom. It's people who spend their time uploading videos online dissecting every bit of minutia of a performance. So on YouTube, there are these people who post these videos about understanding, and I'm not making this up. I see this thumbnail. A lot. It just says understanding Dave Grohl, and I look at the time, mm-hmm. and it's like 12 minutes long, mm-hmm. and I mean, you need 30 seconds to understand Dave Grohl, in my opinion. But, I mean, there's a whole
do?
Subset
What are you
going to
do with the other 20 seconds of that 30 seconds? Right?
Yeah, precisely. But there's all these people writing blogs and talking about these things and about just people's performances or singing and things, mm-hmm. and they just discuss it to the point of inanity.
Yeah. Now, what's your favorite Dave Grohl song? What's your favorite song? Is it the one where he goes, I got another good fish in the big... That one?
Yeah.
Is that one where he bellows and then...
That one where he yells.
All the instruments come in at the same level? That one? You know that song?
Where everything's compressed to be the exact same loudness as his bellow? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, that guy seems like a nice enough guy, right?
I'm sure. I mean, he's in a lot of documentaries. That doesn't just happen.
Yeah, no, that does just happen, actually. I'm going to actually completely disagree with you. It does just... It happens because he will talk about anything. It's like, all right, we got Dave. Like, he sits down. They roll out a fake backdrop of LPs behind him, like a fake wall of LPs. It's like, all right, Dave, we're going to do... we got 14 documentaries you said you'd be a part of for today. All right, let's do this is for the ZZ Top documentary. And then he's like, okay, action. He's like, ZZ Top, are you effing kidding me? Those guys are the reason I'm in a band. He'll be like, Tush, are you effing kidding me? That song's the greatest song ever. And cut. Okay. Now we're going to do the Go-Go's. Action. The Go-Go's? Are you effing kidding me? It's the best band ever. We Got the Beat? I wouldn't be in a band if it wasn't for We Got the Beat. And cut. All right, Dave. Coming up next, what do we got here? Culture Club. We're doing the Culture Club documentary. Action. Culture Club? Are you effing kidding me? Karma Chameleon? I wouldn't be in an effing band if it wasn't for Culture Club. Cut. Okay, Dave, now we're going to do Falco for the Falco documentary. Action. Falco? Are you effing kidding me? That guy effing ruled. Rock Me Amadeus? I wouldn't be in an effing band if it wasn't for that song. Yeah.
What do you think the odds are that somebody just slips one in there that they just made up completely?
I'd say the odds are zero. That actually, now you're pushing the reality of this thing way too far. It's zero.
I apologize.
Well, actually, me saying zero, that's not an odd. That's not an odd. Zero. 10 billion to one. There you go. There are your odds. Get off my phone. Hey, Mike. Bring your song in. Mike brought a thing in for the topic last week, the worst song to get beat up to. And then we'll bring my friend Nick on the show. And what do you have here?
Old-timey music.
You know my love of old-timey music, yeah. Look at that. It's appalling.
Track 16.
All right, take it easy, Pat. He's doing his Chevy Chase routine over there. Tell you, any chance these guys get to laugh at each other, it's a hornet's nest up in here. Pat trips, Mike. Finally comes out of the stupor to laugh at someone falling. All right.
Track 16.
Yeah.
Now, this is your... Do you think this is the worst song to get beat up to?
Yeah, the worst.
All right. This is not playing. Oh, I'm going to be so mad. This thing doesn't play.
It's not a 78 CD.
What's that?
It's not a 78.
Oh, it's not playing.
Oh, boy. That's weird.
This is Dudio. This is Dudio's work. Dudio sabotage stuff. Yeah.
I know what it is. Hold on. Let's try this. CD.
Better not be some weird movie putting in here.
Okay. Track 16.
Oh, it's not playing.
Sorry. Okay.
All right, Mike.
And that's not on you. That's not on you.
Okay.
Mike, that's not on you.
Okay.
That's not on you. Don't worry.
I tried.
You did try.
Yeah.
Mike, you gave your best.
Okay.
But I guess your best wasn't good enough. Just like James Ingram said. You gave your best, but I guess your best wasn't good enough. Can you leave this here? Do you have to bring this home?
No.
No rush. You're going to listen to this music from 100 years ago. No, I need to listen to this at home. This is one of those purchases you make, and then you're just like, yeah, I'm never listening to this ever again. You know those? You know those purchases?
No, I'm actually enjoying it. It's from a box set and some good stuff on there. It's from a documentary, too, which I haven't been able to track down.
Well, then it's got to be good. It's from a documentary. Did Dave Grohl say anything about it?
I don't know if he's in it.
This old music? Camptown Races? Are you effing kidding me?
There were some modern versions of the songs done. I don't know if he did a cut.
You know who's laughing so hard right now is Dudio.
Yeah, yeah.
The tech problems.
Right, yeah.
He feels he just showed why he why he's irreplaceable. He's laughing it up right now.
He probably just randomly unplugs some things when before he left.
Exactly. Just sends the message. So this apmike.bandcamp, it's down now, right? That's over.
No, it's still going.
It's still up. apmike.bandcamp.com still up.
Haven't shut it down yet.
No. You can still get headshots at it.
You can get headshots, t-shirts, songs. Somebody purchased Michael Perry. I guess it came up last week.
Mm-hmm.
Some people thought that would be a bad song to get beat up to.
Yeah, your Sun Kill Moon tribute.
Somebody had to do one, right?
I love it. You're the Weird Al of... Yeah.
Sun Kill Moon.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to drop some more music that I can parody.
I love it. Is it AP Mike's parody? He's... Harry, Sun, Kill, Moon. Who's next?
Exclusively.
Who's next?
Gonna...
Who's in your crosshairs next?
No. It's just going to be him. It's, yeah. it's
oh, just him.
Yeah, just him.
What are you going to do when I bring him in here?
Then I will say it was a tribute.
Yeah, it's called tap dancing and backpedaling. Yes.
He inspired me.
There you go.
That's it.
You've learned well, Mike, from me squirming out of every possible.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I ran into someone who said, I'm not going to name the band, but they said they were friends with somebody who is the spouse of someone in a, and they love the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, like, oh, this woman loves the show. Her husband is in a band and is like, it's a band that I've done nothing but make fun of for, and I was just thinking, it's like, either she hasn't heard me make fun of them, or she's heard it, and that's what she likes about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that I'm making fun of her, the band her husband is in.
Uh-huh.
Can't say what band, though.
Yeah.
Right? Can't say it. Yeah. Did I tell you all? Did I tell you already?
Yeah, you did.
I think I did. Yeah. I love it.
I won't blurt it out.
No, don't blurt. Yeah, fight the urge, Mike.
One of my favorite bands. Ooh, hint. Big hint.
Yeah, so huge hint because you like three bands. It's either it's Bruce Springsteen, Grateful Dead, or the third band that I'm not naming. Yeah, you like. I tell you, Mike, you're something else. There's only one of you. Now get out, get out. Seriously, get out. What are you doing? You're way too comfortable. Get up, get out. Gotta get out. Gotta get out. I'd like to welcome to the show my friend. And if he's not your friend, he will be. By the end of the show tonight, you're going to say, he's my friend too, Tom. Nick Thorburn's my friend also. Nick Thorburn, what's up?
I'm affable.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm well.
Now, for people who don't know.
That's right.
This guy, he's got 800 things going on.
He's in a band. He's got his band Islands, right? That's your is that the, Islands is like the anchor band.
Yeah, that's fair to say. That's the flagship.
Yes. No pun intended.
Oh, right.
Because it's a nautical. And right. You always have a
I go nautical.
Yes. Then there's Nick Diamonds, which is when you are a solo.
Yeah.
You operate under the name Nick Diamonds.
Yeah.
Then there's Mr. Heavenly, which is you and that other fella.
Yep. He who shall not be named. Oh, and we do have a bass player from the Foo Fighters on two songs on our new record.
Nate.
Right. I forgot his name, but yeah.
Nate Mandel.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I directed a video he was in.
I've actually never met him, but...
Nice guy.
Joe, my drummer, is friends with.
And Mr. Heavenly also features the low-end stylings of podcast engineer Brett Morris in a live setting.
Fantastic. Fantastic low-end.
I never saw a guy. When I saw you, your Mr. Heavenly, play in Philadelphia, I never saw a guy having a better time on stage than that guy.
He was actually recording a podcast while he was playing bass. He was doing an Earwolf show. I'm not even kidding. He was on stage.
Uh-huh.
He was in between songs. He was working the meter on How Did This Get Made, I think.
Well, I think that's just that sounds like a poor use of time that he could have. You only have an hour of the 24 hours on stage. He couldn't have used any of the other 23 hours to mix podcast.
No, that's how he does it. He likes to do it like that, he said. He told me that.
He likes to multitask. It's like a do or die kind of thing.
Yeah. He actually shadow mixed my podcast.
Which is called Critical.
Right, at the Critical Pod.
Which is a hit.
It's about to be a hit. It's on the upswing. Yeah.
Yes. And we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry. Now, you are from... True or false, you're from Canada. That's I'll field this one. It's true. You grew up out in the hinterlands, out in the where? The western
provinces of British Columbia.
Yes.
It's two provinces. British Columbia is segmented into the north and south. I grew up in the north and the south, but primarily in the southern western Canada.
And as a young boy, you'd go to Vancouver for your thrills?
No, it was actually surprisingly difficult to get over to Vancouver. You'd have to take a ferry. You'd have to drive for 2 hours, take a ferry, and then drive for another hour into the city. So it was very rare that I would get. I went to get my thrills to see Fugazi. It was actually one of their last shows. We hitchhiked to Victoria, Alden, my unicorn's bandmate, and I, and then we ferried over to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rare time. It was a rare moment.
So did you feel isolated? Were you out in the middle of nowhere and finding these things, however you got your hands on the things you liked?
Yeah, I had an older sister who was very... was paving the way. And then, you know, in these small pockets, there were these punk shows, these $5 kind of punk shows that would happen and in the area, and we'd have to maybe drive for 20 minutes or something like that. But yeah, that was a moment.
So when's the first time a young Nick Thorburn says, I want to play music?
I'm 16.
Okay.
And I had some friends. I had just moved back south. I was up north, near Alaska, and I moved back south, to Vancouver Island, and didn't have many friends, but I met these punk kids, and they played music, and I just really, I saw how fun it looked, and I wanted to be a part of it, so.
And then you started the Unicorns.
Shortly thereafter, about a year after, I made the decision. I made the leap. I bought a harmonica first, which is not the right direction to go in. But I course corrected and borrowed. I actually just sang for a lot of the beginning of my musical journey.
So you started off as a singer harp player.
Yeah, mouth
kinda
harp.
Kind of like the guy in the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
I don't catch the reference, but I'm more of like a blues traveler kind of guy. John Popper was my guy. That was one of my guys.
That was one of your guys. Did you ever have the vest with all the pop?
Oh, it had every key.
All the keys in it?
A to Z.
A to Z. Well, I don't think it goes past G.
That's what they want you to think, but actually in box time, they actually went all the way to Z. So
okay.
I was kind of, it's a bit of a Baroque kind of.
Yes. So that's how the harmonica vests work in Canada. Down here, it's just... Don't you picture that guy? Like, when you see him play, is he, like, digging into his pocket to pull a different harmonica? Like, wait, where's my...
He has a hoagie in one of them, I think, actually.
So he has some snacks.
You're up there for, you know, when you're blues traveling, you have that discography, that's short for discog. You'd have like a 5-album kind of run that you got to get through. So you need snacks on stage. I know.
Sure.
You know.
Do you think he ever reached for the harmonica? He's like, I need my F sharp. And he reaches in and like some M&Ms fall out all over the stage. Like, nah, wrong pocket.
Yeah, he might.
Second in. Like now he misses like the harmonica part of the song,
which
and the rest of the band's looking at him like, "Come on, Popper, tighten it up."
He's pulling out like a Jersey mic when he's supposed to hit that F sharp.
Oil and vinegar. Because if he puts, I would hope at least if he's putting a hoagie in his harmonica vest, he should put it in one of the lower pockets because the oil and vinegar is
it
just going to run down.
Yeah, it'll ruin all the harmonicas.
All the harmonicas, they're going to, at the very least, are going to taste like a pressed ham.
Serrano.
Worst case, the oil and vinegar straight up just ruins the reeds on the thing.
Right.
And then he's just going to be, what's he supposed to do when he does... Pat, what's that song called? The second Blues Traveler song? No, not Run Around. Suck it in. If you're rinting, a heart makes you round. That one. I ain't talk. Right? What's that called? That was your style of music, Pat. He doesn't know. So you said goodbye to your John Popper fantasies and eventually got a guitar at some point.
I made the upgrade. I got a guitar. Well, it actually took me years to get a guitar. It took me like 5 years. I really just borrowed a lot of guitars for many years. And then I eventually got my own and actually smashed it at the Knitting Factory on... Where was that, a Knitting Factory in Tribeca or?
Well, and it was on Houston
was
for
it
a
on
long
Houston?
Time. Yes, that Knitting Factory was on Houston. Then there was somewhere else, and then they moved it out of Borough.
You know how you rob a tourist as they ask where the Knitting Factory on Houston is.
That's how you know.
That's how you know to jump them.
You could help them. You could tell them. It's how, don't say that too loud. Isn't it amazing when you see someone walking through New York and they have just a map out and they're just like, it's like, you.
They're still doing that?
I saw someone do that last week where it was like, you don't realize, it's just like, you can't be that. Like, it's like a parody of a tourist begging to get robbed.
Yeah.
With a huge camera around their neck and like looking at the map like.
But they're still saying, I'm walking here when they cross the street.
Yes, I found
I'm
walking
so
here.
Weird.
Yeah. That you just get in. That just enters the bloodstream.
Right.
It's just like in Canada, I'm sure there was some sort of, what would be that? You do like a.
There's actually wheelchairs at every intersection you get wheeled across. So the social system is really takes care of.
Very supportive.
We take care of our own.
Yeah. We do take care, and then yet you ran from that country. You ran.
It was a slow crawl, but I'm here now.
You're here now, and this is where you belong.
Yeah.
So now tell me about islands, because unicorns.
Yeah.
It was your first band of renowned.
Yeah.
Then it burst into flame.
Yeah, we ran hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then out of the ashes, you're like, I'm not done with this.
No, sir.
So what is the what is the thought behind the next stage of your career now with this? What is the manifesto for Islands?
Is deep self-loathing a manifesto?
It can be a part of one.
Okay.
Might not be everything.
Doubt and shame, I think, rank high. I don't know if I want to... I think I need a long sabbatical from rock music. I feel like I've repeated myself. I was, for the last 6 years, I've been making records out of from a place of catharsis, and it's actually not helping. I thought catharsis was supposed to make you feel better, but so I think I'm going to take a knee.
Really?
Yeah, I'm taking a musical break.
So, because you've done Islands for 10 years straight.
Yeah, I did a 10-year run, and we did 7 albums in 10 years, and we did our final show at Webster Hall in December of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You emceed it.
I was there for that was fun.
Hmm.
It was a great night because you did the first album,
right,
in its entirety,
right,
which is kind of like a nice loop around on the thing.
Yeah, or a cop out, I like to call it.
No, you can say the nicer version of things, kidding. Nick. You did the thing because you did so much stuff. You did it was 2 years ago. You put 2 albums out on the same day.
Yeah, sunk like a stone.
That's not
week
true.
One. Underwhelming week two. Gone, just non-existent.
Well, but you, it's there. Who cares what happened week
two? Where is
it? Where is
it? I guess it's on Spotify.
It's out there. People like it.
Google Play.
Yeah. People like it. I like it.
Thank you. It means the world to me.
I talked to you about your second album, which we heard something from earlier, Arms Way, which...
I'm baffled that you like that
record. I think is such a great album.
Thank you.
And it's this thing, this album that it's not the most nurturing experience to revisit.
Yeah, I haven't come back around to that one. I think I hated the first album so much and wanted to just avoid this idea that we were this whimsical band. I wanted to kind of show that I could be, that I had a few different hats to wear. You know, I love hats so much. I wear a lot of hats.
You're so known for your hats.
Yeah, I have a wide brim. It's the LA thing. It's that you got to wear a hat. So
there's that time. There's times when it'll be like the car will roll up to the valet. The person gets out, and I'm like, either that is someone back from the dead.
Right.
Or it's Nick.
It's an undertaker, or it's Nick. And he, being me, can hardly get out of the car because the brim is so, it's the width of the door. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's me. That's what I'm known for. And the island stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to get more into...
the hats.
Yeah, haberdashery. Yeah.
So you did this second album, Arms Way. You went nuts on it. It's like, it's one of those great albums where you just went for it.
And... Radio Silence. We went for. I remember playing Coachella, and the tent was half full, and it was like, well, we swung for the fences, and we struck out.
Well, I'm telling. I feel like this album will get its due. This dog has not gotten its day yet.
Wow.
This album will get its just
desserts.
Yes, it will. Because it just is.
It's so, I feel like I'm over enunciating everything. It's so, I cringe
but
when
But that's I, you! You hear that. I hear a great album. You hear what didn't,
hyper
you hear what went wrong with it.
Only.
Yeah. I don't hear that. I hear a great album filled with songs that are big and with big ideas and you're not afraid. There's so many small ideas. So many people just do small things because then they just go, oh, it's just small. And it's just like, then you can, I said it was small before you said it was small. Then you can't judge anything.
Right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with going for it. You go for it. You slide all the chips in.
I went for it and I was punished. Maybe time will tell. I don't know.
Yeah. So then you take that.
I'll be dead.
Well, you'll still be, I'll show up at your tomb. You got him, buddy.
One for.
I'll throw the 33. I'll throw the 33 and the third book down on your tomb. I'll say, you showed him, buddy. They wrote a 33 and a third about your arm's way, buddy.
And then I'll punch through.
Yes, and then just take the book.
Just flesh and bone.
It's like the final action that you could summon from the other side. It's like, you're just like, on the other side, it just on this side, it translates to a fist punching through a coffin, and you take the book.
That's 10,000 years of life on the other side.
On the other side, you're just, you're doubled over, just like sucking, like, oh, that took everything out of me. But I got my hand on the 33 and a third book.
I got to touch it, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those books.
I do too.
Did you read the Journey to the End of Taste one, the Celine Dion?
No, I didn't. I have it. I never read. Isn't it enough that I knew to buy it?
Yeah, I think that counts.
In this time, seriously, and I say this, I'm half serious on this. Isn't it enough that I could that I know the good stuff, even if I've never actually read it or listened to it?
Speaking my language, I trade exclusively in only knowing the thing. I'm a fraud. That's
sealed.
Yeah.
Sealed things.
Yep. Oh, it's all sealed.
Yeah. No, it's still sealed.
It's in mint condition. Yeah. I think I could get a lot for that.
That's a DVD still sealed. You can't even that's might be collectible now.
I can't tell you how many Fassbenders I have that are just perfectly wrapped. Mm-hmm. I love.
But you knew.
Oh, I knew to get it. I knew.
But then you look at it, you go, the master.
Yeah. One of the greats.
Fassbender, yes.
They call him the master.
And you're like, this one is a minor film. It's like, well, have you seen it? No, but I know it's a minor. It's not.
You should see the spines on my bookshelf. It is. Mm-hmm. I have one of the most immaculate. I feel like I could trade my bookshelf for so much money because I just have the most perfect spines on these books.
Yes, it's basically you might be living in a bookstore.
Right.
That you just haven't gotten like a. You haven't gotten a license to sell goods. That you might want to look into just getting some sort of become like an S corp or whatever you need to
do. I'm more of an L corp kind
of
guy.
You're more of an L, okay? More LC. Yeah, I'm more of a K.
Shout out to Brian, my accountant.
K1. Oh, shout out to my accountant, Brian.
Oh, Brian, not Brian, Bert. So let's say it at the same time.
No.
Okay.
We'll say okay. Bert Cranston.
Wow.
What?
Brian Cranston has a great hat collection. I'm a huge hat fan.
He's my accountant also.
Really?
Yeah.
He seems like such a chill guy.
He looks at my taxes and he's just like, do you think this is a deduction? You think you could deduct this? I'm not a huge
Is he the one that knocks?
No, he's the one that knocks. He's also the one that sends through he does your state by state taxes also.
Oh, wow.
Like he'll just be like,
you're in Delaware, right?
I'm actually out in international waters.
Okay.
I'm a part of the Carnival Cruise Line. The best show actually is from the Grand Cayman Islands is where this show technically exists.
Wow.
That's where Dudio is, actually. He's going to establish.
To drop it in a.
He's establishing residency. He's sitting in a room that just says on the door, the best show. And it's like the Spanish Prisoner. It's just a desk with a little name plaque on it and a mini fridge.
I saw the guy from the Spanish Prisoner today.
Which guy? Steve Martin?
The other guy. Or one of the other guys.
The Griffin Dunn?
Yeah. I think so. I saw him today at a hotel. in Lower Manhattan.
I wanted to say we have Nick Thorburn in studio. We're talking about the things that are boring, the subsets and the groups.
I see what you're doing.
No,
I get it.
No, don't do this.
You didn't have to
do this. Don't be
publicly
that.
Shame me.
No,
like this.
You're not that guy, Nick.
No, I get it.
Mike, you have anything that you think is boring? Any of these groups? People who talk about their workouts. Okay. That's Mike pushing back against the people railing about beer. You know what I think is the most boring group is when people talk about the process and the minutiae of which school their children go to and how they're getting their kid into a school and all the things that go along with just school. Like, well, we want to get into this school. And it's like, but we got to make a donation to get into this school. It's like, well, that is the most... It only applies to New York and Los... Everybody else is just, like, New York and Los Angeles. Everybody's just like, yeah. Wait, you're 5? Okay, well, go to kindergarten then.
Right.
Okay, you're 6? Well, then they'll send you to first grade.
We have 2 schools in our town. You're going to go to this one or you're going to go to that one.
Yes, exactly.
I grew up with one. There was one school in my town. It was a town of 1,000 people. It was like, you go to this school. Not to make myself seem like self-made, but I mean, I really
you're
am.
You're like a Joe Lunch Pail kind of.
They call me Nicky Hard Hat. That's my.
You like hats? I mean,
I like soft hats. Now I've graduated to soft.
In Canada. Well, in Canada, you generally gravitate more towards a harder hat.
Sure, the inclement weather, it behooves a hard hat.
Yeah, you wanna when you're out on the beam.
Oh man, I've been on the beam so hard.
Eating lunch
from a lunch pail.
From a lunch pail, you got your thermos of coffee,
avocado toast from a lunch pail.
Your avocado.
Weirdly, I don't know. Yes. I don't know, it must be LA. I just love that avocado toast. Smashed avocado.
Do you know why you like avocado toast? Because it's great.
Right.
Of course anybody would love, anybody who is like, boo, these avocado, it's like, yeah, have some of it.
But you gotta have the Himalayan pink salt. You gotta do it that way. And maybe a sprig of arugula. Otherwise you're not doing it right. But yes, I am from.
You can't throw like a tomato on that?
Heirloom. I would throw an heirloom, maybe cherry heirloom, cherry tomato.
Mike,
Jersey.
Write that down. Cherry heirloom tomato. I think I'm doing it wrong, Mike. Mike, throw my avocado toast away. I got it out there. I don't want Nick seeing that I have jelly beans sprinkled all over my avocado. I have Nutella and jelly beans on the avocado. Don't let him see that. I want to take a call. Besho, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, who's
this? This is Michael in Tulsa. How are you?
Michael in Tulsa. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, the land of Leon Russell.
That's right. Home of Leon Russell.
That's correct. Right? And Dwight Twilley is from here.
Yeah, you came ready with your local heroes. What's your
That's
favorite?
Right.
What's your favorite Leon Russell song?
I mean, you know, "Roll the Stone Away" is a good one. Any of the stuff he did from those Shelter People records is really good. I mean,
what about, you know what my favorite Leon Russell song is?
What's that?
Long ago. And
yes.
So far. He wrote that. Leon Russell wrote
Superstar. Absolutely wrote that.
The Carpenters.
Didn't he also produce a session for the Monkees that never saw the light of day?
Well, I don't know about that. That sounds like you're making things up now.
I heard a rumor to that extent.
Yeah. Some weird boogie rock thing?
Yeah.
Right. I'm in the spotlight. Right? He's one of those guys who there was a point... He was just like, I think I'm going to start dressing like I work at the circus. A lot of rock guys reach a point where they're just like, what if I dress like I'm a circus employee? Like a carny?
You know, Tom, I appreciated him dressing like he was had a little bit of a circus flair going on. He does not. Of course, he's no longer with us, but he did not know that he accidentally played my wedding reception.
Leon Russell did not know he played your wedding reception.
That's correct.
Well, that must have been some level.
The venue we booked. Yeah. The venue we booked for our reception double booked us and told my wedding party that we could go ahead and come to the show. And so there we were, my wife and I out in the middle of the crowd, her in her dress and me in my tux, and we had a great time.
That's nice. So what are you, you're here with Nick Thorburn.
Yes, from Islands.
That's right.
Excellent.
Don't patronize me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I cop to it.
I can sense it.
So look, I'm not going to let you play the sad sack tonight. This is a celebration.
Me
tonight.
Or the caller?
All of you.
Okay.
There's room for one sad sack.
Who's here. That?
Mike. It's Mike. So, yeah, what do you got for the topic?
No, we're talking about boring conversations, right?
No, we're talking about boring people, like groups that are boring. Like
group.
Like, I'll say this. Boring. I think it's boring when people talk about, groups of people that talk about leaving social media a little too much.
Like, oh, my gosh.
I dance precipitously close to the edge of being one of those people, if I'm not one.
I'm getting off Facebook.
You are?
I'm doing it. Soon.
So you're...
It's just crazy, the Cambridge Analytica stuff. I'm getting off.
Uh-huh. You're starting to circle.
I'm starting to unfriend, and yeah, mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
Soon you will deactivate your account.
Yeah, I want to say... 6 to 8 months.
See how that feels.
Yeah. I want to slow ease into it. But.
Yes. So, yeah. So, that like that kind of thing.
You know, I have to say, when it comes to groups that just bore me to death, I think I'm going to go with people who are needlessly snobby about things that just very minutiae kind of things. Like, I used to be one of those people.
What's something you would be snobby about? That
let's see. Well, I there was a time where I'd be really snobby about my record collection, and I finally realized that there's no reason for that. And I still am a little bit snobby about what authors I'll read.
Like, what's a record that you would be like, well, this is, you got to have this in your collection. Like, that you would actively beat someone over that. You would weaponize a record in your collection. What would that be?
So for years, I was the guy, I was the Wilco guy. I was the guy who just was.
Hold on. What band now?
Oh, Wilco.
Wilco.
Yeah, Jeff Tweedy and those guys.
It's one guy.
But they were never obscure, though. They were never obscure.
They were a little obscure in 97.
What's that?
In 97, they weren't huge. And I'm out here in Oklahoma. Things were slow to get to us.
Oh, stop with the Oklahoma routine. It's not like you're in the middle of, it's not like you're out on an island with one other person and you each look at each other like you're a hamburger and a hot dog chasing each other around a palm tree. Stop
it. Okay, so
you're in Oklahoma.
You want me to give you something obscure? Something,
I want to tell you guys about a thing. It's a record you might want to check out. It's called Wilco.
Let's see.
It's called Wilco.
Well, see, anything else I mentioned to you, you're going to tell me isn't terribly obscure. Like, I used to be the guy telling people to listen to The Replacements.
All right.
And that was kind of one. I put him in a couple people's hands a couple times and said, you know, you need to hear this.
And like, you know, authors, what authors were you snobby about?
So Michael Chabon's one that I'm still a little bit snobby about. Like
he stinks?
Just something about him... hit me on a really
deep level. They're terrible.
What's
like
that?
You're snobby about them, like, this guy's the worst. Don't read these books. They stink.
No, I'm actually kind of snobby about him, like, saying you should read him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think Jonathan Franzen's terribly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, sometimes I give people a little bit of grief about him.
Mm-hmm. Mike is a book, Mike's not even a snob about it, because he's like, again, he's one of these guys, I don't call him this, in Bayonne they call him the Bleep House Shakespeare, is what they call him. He's one of these guys, he walks around Bayonne, he quotes just passages from books, and then he's like, right? And then he quotes more. They call him the Bleep House Shakespeare in band. Right, Mike?
Mike, are you doing the Bloomsday thing this year for Ulysses?
He's never done it.
Oh, you got to do it.
Yeah. All right, my friend. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you.
Got Nick Thorburn here. Nick Thorburn.
Hot phones.
Hot phones. Hot phones. So you...
I've never listened to the show, it's true.
No, it's fine.
Heard a lot of
Welcome to the club. You're a man of many hats, literally and artistically.
Mm.
Like, there are days I'm sure you wake up and you're just like, which hat should I put on my head?
Well, I sleep in a hat.
Okay.
A baseball cap.
Okay, you sleep in a
keeps it kind of keeps the ideas cap. In. Yeah, uh-huh. Keep sleep in a ball
sure.
cap.
Sure.
But I do wake up and think, which hat? Yeah, yeah.
Which artistic hat should I put on today? All right, this terrifies me. Okay.
Sorry.
No. So, you also have, you do a podcast now called Critical.
Yeah, that's true.
Which just launched.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's heating up, yeah.
And I'm being told to go to line 5. I'm being told to go to line 5 right now because there's a hot guest on line 5 is what I'm being told. Hello, hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is David O'Reilly here calling from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my goodness. David, this is the guy who does the podcast with Nick.
That's right. We do a podcast together. I'm really excited to be doing it. It's brand new.
It's called Critical. And I heard this first episode, and I got to say, this is some heady stuff you guys are laying out with this podcast. It's like school a little bit.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. It's a fully educational thing. It's very dense. I mean. I got to be honest, you know, that we've learned a lot from your show, and we've been studying it over the years, and we listen to a lot of podcasts, but really we're inspired, I don't want to say we're really inspired by that, but we're inspired by life, and we're editing down life in a podcast form. And, yeah, I mean, we really just felt like it was, you know, it wasn't too late to enter the podcast scene. And so we came out guns blazing with that first episode. Really glad that you liked it.
What would you guys think of this as the opening theme? Since you said that it's about life, what if this was your theme now? Life is a podcast. I'm going to listen all show long, right? Life is a podcast.
I have a few connections to Tom Cochran, so I actually think we could make that happen, David.
Off.
Hi, David, by the way. Hi, David.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
How's L.A.?
L.A. is so great. You know, it's a beautiful, sunny day here, as usual. And it's just been great. I've been doing a lot of meetings and, you know, working on the show and thinking about new topics. But it's really great. And, you know, I miss you, buddy.
Lipstick City, as we call it out here. LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Lipstick well, it's City. The place where entertainment happens. And Nick and I have been there for a long time. Waiting for the opportunity to strike, really, with the podcast. And like you said, you know, Nick is a man of many talents, and and so am I, and we both have sort of other careers. But
as are you. You are, too. Hey, Mike, can you tell Pat that our other guest can come in and listen here? She can come sit in the room. So this guy, look, this guy David O'Reilly, he does a podcast. Give her some headphones to listen, for God's sake. This guy does this podcast Critical, right? That's not all this guy does. This guy is like a genius. This guy's like a genius. I can't.
I'm a moron, but I found my home finally. I've been searching, and I think Nick would share the sentiment that we've both been searching for a long time for the right place to put our meager talents.
Now this guy, I'm not going to let you get off easy. This guy is like he's like that. Wait, which one are you? You're in the King of Kong? Is that you? Do like video game stuff? Are you friends with that guy who just got his title stripped?
Oh, did that happen? I'm to be honest, I'm not familiar with that whole side of it, with the competitive gaming world. That's a whole other scene.
No, but you do game design. This guy's like he's like one of the smartest people on the planet. This guy David O'Reilly.
Oh, stop.
Rivaled only did this game. Can I say what you did? Can I say?
Sure.
What's it called again? Everything? Right? It's called right?
Yes, I did a game. Actually, well, you're sort of familiar with it from another, I don't know if we could talk about this, but from another angle, which was that you're familiar with Alan Watts from your
Yes, from my days on WFMU, I would listen to Alan Watts and play him. Yeah, so you made a game where it literally is the whole world it takes place in it. It's the greatest thing ever, and another one called Mountain,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. And when I say games, this is not the Pong or Tetris. These are like mind games. And when I say mind games, I don't mean like John Lennon, right? Or Kevin Spacey, who sang Mind Games. You ever hear his version
of
Mind Games?
No, let's cue that up.
It's very good. It's a little better than John Lennon's version. I think he's coming back. I think he'll be back. Kevin Spacey, within the month, he'll be back. He's like a guy like that should probably say at this point.
This side of a month, I think he's back, yeah. He's going to do a surprise cameo in House of Cards.
Well, I'm back. The president is back. And I told you all, there's two sides to a sword, and I don't want to get run through the wrong side of the sword. Now I'm telling you, he's like, Foghorn Leghorn is just like, you may want to tap the brakes on that southern accent. If you were Kevin Spacey, you'd be like, look, the world knows I'm a grade A creep and a sex offender. Why don't I just volunteer to do Armageddon type things, like shoot me at an asteroid and just let me try to save Earth with stuff like that. At least I can get back to zero.
Or get ride shotgun in that Elon Musk car that went out, you know?
Yeah.
The David Bowie car.
They launched that car.
Just get right,
You know the thing about that car? There's a dead body in the trunk. Elon Musk got away with murder. No one talks about it. And the only people going to find it is some Martian cop is going to get this guy.
That's a show right there.
Hey, Mike, write that down. Martian cop, the pilot episode. He pops the trunk on Elon Musk's space car and finds a dead body in the trunk and then arrests him. And then he gets stuck on an asteroid. He gets convicted and sent to space jail.
But Musk has bored into the Earth. The whole boring thing was his escape plan to bore into the Earth to hide.
Uh huh.
So now they have to find him.
Well, it's Kevin Spacey. Now Kevin Spacey will meet him and just be like, "You thought you were gonna bore your way into Earth, into the magma, but I'm down here to stop you."
And then Louis doing the interstitial kind of.
He's like, hey, what's going on? It's right? Louis.
David, what do you think about all this?
About the Musk car in space?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could that be a video game? Could that be your next game? Martian
the
Cop.
In space.
What if it's just called Martian Cop? Could that be your next everything too? Martian Cop.
There's a lot of. I think there's a big the space market's really big right now.
Yeah.
It'll be, and yeah. You know, you've got conflict there. I can see a space. It could be a space shooter. Tracking down. Maybe if it was an actual size map of outer space, mm-hmm. and with an actual size car, and you had to find it.
I think this is how this one will go. The first game you were working on for years, and you're just like. Still working. I'm like years away from this thing being done. Everything working forever. Everything too will be like, yeah, I just started on it. It'll be out by August. You're like, don't worry, I'm early on this one, on everything too. Martian Cop.
I'm getting ideas. I think it might be, you know, I don't want to say too much because I might actually work on it.
Yeah. Elon Musk's partner is in the trunk, right? The guy who actually like did all the inventions and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it,
like, the other
PayPal
that
car has
his journals.
Has a self-destruct button on it or something, like something remote that he's waiting to pull the trigger on.
Yeah. Like Elon Musk is listening to like he's like it's a rock and roll suicide, presses the red button. Space car blows up.
I think the body in the trunk is like still alive. Like he's keeping somebody alive in that car.
Get me out of here! I'm in here still. I'm eating these freeze dried ice cream. It's just he's eating space food.
Right, and Tang. Yeah, he's just...
Tang. Freeze dried ice cream.
It's like actually intravenous. He can't not eat it, so it's keeping him alive.
Sure.
He wants to die.
He's kept alive as long as possible to go as far as possible. Actually, I think it's Elon Musk himself, or maybe a twin brother, and Elon's been replaced by a clone.
That's true. That sounds good. And
I think Elon is not here anymore.
And with this space ice cream, right, one thing, why do they even bother doing it Neapolitan style? It doesn't taste like chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. Why do they? It's like an insult to the astronauts to just be like, there's three flavors on this. It's like astronauts like, there's no flavor. Yeah, there's one flavor on this. Gross.
Wait, Neapolitan is an astronaut ice cream? I grew up with Neapolitan.
Uh-huh.
Are you seriously telling me that that's intended for astronauts?
No, the freeze-dried ice cream that they would send would be like Neapolitan style.
Oh, in
like,
the style of...
Like there are three flavors in here. Enjoy.
Right.
Enjoy, space jockeys.
Loser.
Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah, but they make the worst, it's like the worst quality ice cream with the classiest flavor.
Yeah. It's like Dippin' Dots. Right?
Yeah.
It's like Dippin' Dots. Those are gross Dippin' Dots. Did you have those in Canada as
a
boy?
No, we had Coffee Crunch and Aero Bar. That's about it.
I like Coffee Crunch.
You like a Coffee Crunch?
Not nuts about Aero Bar.
Or is it Coffee Crisp? I think
coffee
it's Coffee Crisp.
Crisp.
How do you like your coffee, Crisp?
I like my coffee in candy bar form.
Yeah, that's the ad. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like your candy? How do you like your coffee? I like mine in the shape of a candy bar. How do you like your candy? Like coffee.
Hot. Boiling hot.
Well, you two idiots, we have something for both of you. It's called Coffee Crisp. And it's got a lot of sugar in it. Now, David, this podcast of yours, Critical, that you're doing with Nick, what can we look forward to? The first episode is out now. And it's you guys talk about language in this first episode.
Mm. Mm.
Can you give a sneak peek to the Best Show audience what episode 2 might be about?
Oh, yeah. We haven't actually, I don't know if we've announced it yet. Have we, Nick?
I don't think this could be the official announcement.
Well, we have a very special guest.
No.
He's a movie actor.
No. That's episode 4.
Oh, that's 4?
Yeah.
What do we got coming up next, Nick?
Colors in the letter A. All colors that begin with A.
Colors that begin with A, right. And this is something that is going to be very familiar with people because everybody sees colors, but they're not aware of really the amount of colors there are. And so it's going to be really unpacking the subject, cracking it open, and just really getting in there and talking about it.
Yeah. It's a
and so subject. We'll find a topic. I mean, you know, a lot. I know that the subject today is boring, and so we'll find something that people maybe they think is boring, and then we'll enlighten about it. We'll open it up and show all of the extraordinary detail underneath it all.
Right, because it's not boring. There's really so much you can get into with the topic of colors. I think there's, you know, like we talked about on the show about the spectrum of colors and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot. I mean, we're just a couple of young content creators trying to get our stuff out there, and we're doing it in podcast form.
That's right. Yeah, we're really trying to do it.
Atlantic Crest Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
You called. You asked me to call. What do you need?
Do you claim to be the Antichrist?
Yeah.
Oh, then there's many questions that I have for you. First of all, how do you know that you are the Antichrist?
How dare you?
I dare.
Your preconceived notions of what the Antichrist is.
I don't dare.
Have a valuable opportunity to talk.
I was not even planning on coming out to talk to the public. Okay.
But this is the first show ever that said, will the real Antichrist please stand up?
That's correct.
I was very intrigued, and I, just as an aside, I must say you have an excellent show. I don't know if it was fate, but a couple of months ago, my cousin had a birthday party that she was listening to this unique man at night. And although I do work during the day, I wish I was on the beach, as the other guys said, drinking a margarita.
Well, that's what people imagine, but you know what people imagine is rarely true. And you're right, how dare I imagine to know what the Antichrist is? So you tell me.
Welcome back to Beatles Talk. How's everybody doing tonight? This is Lance filling in for Denny, whose arm surgery, unfortunately, did not go as planned. And he is currently back in the arm hospital. And we are sending our thoughts to him and our best Beatle prayers to him also, and hoping that we know he's having a bit of a hard day's night right now, and we just hope that soon he'll be able to say good night to the surgery, and he'll be able to live and let live. We'll play on the Beatles song. I also want to say that the Yellow Submarine mug, just to reiterate, it do not drink from the Yellow Submarine mug. It has been recalled due to high lead content. It is not dishwasher safe. It is not meant for liquids to be consumed in it. It is basically a container of poison. So, by whatever you do, do not drink from the Yellow Submarine mugs. We know everyone was excited. They are decorative. And it's even not clear whether they're safe as decoration. We're not sure if they are giving off anything. that is not safe in a household. So please do not even return the mug. Take the mug to your local dump and have it destroyed. And please hold on to your paperwork. You will receive a replacement mug, which will be coming soon. I do want to say we are excited to announce that there is a new Abbey Road t-shirt coming out, which depicts the Fab Four crossing the road, as on the cover. And this shirt that is different from the other one, this one is blue. So that makes this one different. And everyone's excited. The pre-order begins on May 1st for the Beatles Abbey Road shirt. The topic tonight, which powers do you wish the Beatles had? Which superpowers do you wish the Fab Four possessed? Albert? The phone number is 201-332-3484. If anyone has a superpower that they wish the Fab Four possessed. Line two. Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
Do you have one of the Yellow Submarine mugs?
It's on pre-order.
Well, I'm going to just tell you it's going to be a little delayed because of the high lead content in the mugs.
They could send it to me with the lead, I would still enjoy it.
Please don't enjoy the Beatles. It is life-threatening. I know your love of the Beatles is strong, but this mug will literally take your life. Do not fight the urge to possess a Beatles collectible that will probably take your life. So do you have a Beatles?
Yes,
what is a superpower that you wish the Fab Four had? Anything? Because I think a lot of the time I wish it would be interesting to see what Paul McCartney would do with the ability to move things with his mind. Like if he could just had, what is that? Telekinesis? Is that what that is?
That's what that is. And I instantly, you know, you brought up the topic. I already had this for years. I wish George could start fires with his eyes.
That's very interesting, because then he could be playing, and then say he was playing and was doing, like if he was doing Savory Truffle, for example, and he's playing.
Sure.
And then to take it to another level, he sets fire to something.
Just to gaze upon it, it bursts into flames.
Yes. That would be very exciting. That would have been a very exciting addition to the Dark Horse Tour in 74, which it probably could have helped mitigate some of the factors of George having vocal troubles on that tour due to alleged cocaine abuse. But I don't know if that's true. That's not my place to say. If the coke drip was frying his voice, I can't say that.
How would it have changed the Let It Be rooftop concert?
Well, it definitely would impact George presenting songs to the other guys, like the early version of All Things Must Pass. I think he might have been able to sell a version of that to the group if he could threaten to set them on fire. I think that might have made them listen a little closer to his song ideas.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, thank you for the call, and please, if the mug happens to show up, throw it away.
No promises.
Do not drink from that mug. I'm begging you. Is Beatle Talk. Albert, do we have anyone? We have call screener Albert, who's, as you know, his name's not actually Albert. He takes that because it's a fun reference to Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. That's his tribute to Macca. Line one. Welcome to Beatles Talk. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi. You, do you have a, which superpower do you wish one of the Beatles had? Or any of the Beatles, or all of the Beatles for that matter?
Okay. Probably that they'd be underwater so that they could be in the octopus's garden.
Then they would not need a yellow submarine. If they were literally underwater, they could go.
That's very true. And go wherever.
It would actually, if they had that superpower, you could make a case that we would currently not be dealing with these mugs that are
very bad. We wouldn't need a mug.
Please, by all means, if you have one of these yellow submarine mugs, do not drink from it. Do not send it back. Have it destroyed. Take it to...
That sounds good.
Take it to a Color Me Mine and ask them to throw it into the kiln.
Throw it into the kiln. Remold it into something better.
No, do not remold it into the... It is faulty at its core. So if the Beatles could swim underwater, what do you picture... What kind of adventures do you think they would go on? Do you think they would try to record an album underwater, perhaps?
Could be something like that. I'm sort of thinking in the ways of Metalocalypse, where they go underwater. Yeah, record a really dark, deep sea album. The Marianas Trench.
I only know the Beatles. I don't know any other music.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm sorry, what the Beatles. That? Yeah, because they're the only band, the best band.
It's the best band and the only band.
That is true.
Whatever that is that you talked about, I'm sure they were very influenced by the Beatles.
They definitely were.
What kind of music is this band you're talking about?
Kind of dark, a little scary.
Ah, Helter Skelter.
Pretty
influenced.
Pretty loud. A little bit opposite from the Beatles.
They're borrowing heavily from the song Helter Skelter.
Definitely.
Or I Want
You. That was probably their main influencer.
Or I Want You, She's So Heavy.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's probably their, yeah, that was pretty dark at certain points. So, yeah, I could see them. I could see that definitely happening.
Thank you.
Pretty metal.
Is there any music that the Beatles did not invent or improve?
Yeah, that's a good question. Hip-hop, perhaps.
Well, you could make a case that the Beatles did invent hip-hop.
Hip-hop. Yes. Yes, definitely.
The Ballad of John and Yoko is proto-hip-hop.
That was... Yeah, anything with Yoko in there is definitely some spoken word.
Yes. Well, thank you for the call.
Absolutely.
Albert? Anyone? Line 2. Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hey, I had one for the topic there, the powers I would like to see the Beatles have.
Yes, which power would you like to see one of the Beatles have?
Well, I was thinking that if they all had the powers of Mystique, the X-Men, who could...
Shape-shifting. Yes.
They could change forms, so they could turn into anyone.
But why would they need to turn into anyone else? They're the Beatles.
Well, so then they could be, like, they could turn from, like, just being the Beatles to, like, a different, like, a costume change. Like, they could be Sgt. Pepper's Beatles.
They could change into the, well, that is technically a different band. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is not the Beatles. That
no,
is,
no.
The
so
Beatles
they,
portrayed,
yeah, they
the Beatles portrayed
that.
Them.
Right. They have a... So, or they could turn into, you know, the cartoon Beatles from Yellow Submarine, or they could be...
That's true.
The classic Ed Sullivan Beatles, black and white Beatles.
Very interesting. I am also excited for Beatle Fest is coming up in Chicago. I am going to be conducting an extensive interview with the Beatles fan. Her name is Edna Rausch, and you might know her from A Hard Day's Night. She's the Beatles fan who turfs out in the opening credits and face plants hard on the sidewalk. We are going to do a four-hour interview with her on her... She has a book coming out called A Heart Falls Day, which is about her eating curb in A Hard Day's Night. And She's going to be talking about her book. It's more of a pamphlet than a book, to be honest. It's very thin.
And I'd be very interested to hear that interview, though.
It's going to be a very exciting interview. And I plan to ask her about falling in the opening credits to A Hard Day's Night. Thank you for your call. Albert, anyone? Line one. Albert, please tell me that you're still not drinking out of that yellow submarine mug. You are? You're saying no, but I see you drinking. I can see you drinking out of it. I told you, it's very dangerous. And are you planning on ordering the Abbey Road shirt? Yes. I'm ordering 7 of them. That way I can wear one every day. Beatles Talk, hello.
Hello, Lance. This is Bushes in London, England. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Now, are you actually from London, or are you an Anglophile, as we call?
Oh, I'm a bit of an Anglophile myself. I actually live in Houston, Texas, but I tell people that I live in London, yes.
And do you do this because you're a fan of the Beatles, or that you're some sort of gentleman bandit, and you...
No. I'm a huge fan of the
while
Beatles.
...while robbing people.
No. Giant fan. Big fan.
Yes. I did meet a gentleman bandit once. A very nice guy. He tied me up and robbed my house of all my Beatles merchandise and collectibles.
Oh, dear.
And there was an aspect of it that was very ungentlemanly. He thrashed me within an inch of my life. And I'm lucky to be alive. And he took everything. Thankfully, we caught him at the Beatles Fest in San Diego trying to sell my Beatles board game. And he was
tried, we're glad to have you.
And executed.
So
tell me about which Beatle superpower do you wish existed?
Well, I of course wish that John Lennon had been bulletproof.
I'm going to let you stew in that one for a while, because that's kind of the one anyone could have said.
Well, I mean, if he had been bulletproof, he'd still be alive today.
The question wasn't whether we got it or not. That was not the question here. I'm going to let you sit in your filth for a little bit here and learn your lesson.
Very ungentlemanly.
I will say you're one of the only people I wish would drink out of the yellow submarine mug.
Fare thee well.
Good night. Albert? Albert. Line 2. Hello. Welcome to Beatles Talk.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. To whom are we?
This is Alex. I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, another guy from across the pond.
Yes. So, I wanted to remark on the superpower. I would hope that Ringo Starr could be a necromancer.
Ringo Starr would be a necromancer. That's very interesting. Now, what would that entail if he would have control of the undead? Is that what that would grant him, control over the undead, or control, or could he move the line of living and dead?
Yeah, I mean, if one were to speculate on it, yes, I believe he would, you know, be able to at least interface with the dead and, you know, perhaps be able to shift the line, yes.
Very interesting. If he did have that power, I know there are 4 people who drank out of those yellow submarine mugs that he would be able to talk to, and the death toll is at 4 currently on the wait,
it's 4 individuals.
I've just been told it's 6.
Oh, is that from the wire? Okay, well, then I would speculate that if he were to actually speak with these individuals, that he could perhaps insulate himself from further litigation, possibly appealing to them.
Yes, he could convince them not to sue. Thank you for the call. Beatles Talk, hello.
Hey there, this is Dan from Auburn, California. I was hoping to talk about George Harrison's Cloud Nine album.
What would you like to talk about on it?
Well, I just feel like it's an album that hasn't gotten its due, and I feel like there are so many clear lines between what could have been with the Beatles and with this album. I think it's the most representative album of any of the Beatles that they did on a solo level.
What is your, what's your favorite song on the album, When We Was Fab?
Well, When We Was Fab, I feel like it almost is pandering. It's Got My Mind Set on You. And I know that was the hit.
Now, George didn't write that. Do you feel
George didn't...
He did not write Got My Mind Set on You. Do you feel that... I personally feel that it's only right if the original songwriter gave George full songwriting credit on the song, because he is a Beatle after all. I feel like that would have been the only fair thing to do.
That's why I'm so excited to be joining on your show tonight, because it's a metaphor for what the Beatles stood for, which is it's a collaborative thing. He executed it perfectly.
Yes.
So what if he didn't write it? You know, I mean, you know, it must have been very difficult for him to even, you know, be in the recording session, you know, given the fact that he had e-cigarettes for legs.
Great big white blotted out area where I presume where I should be able to see it, and it does look like a very interesting area actually.
Oh, yeah.
There would be Mel's hole somewhere there, huh?
Yeah, that I think that lot.
Yeah,
there covers like a.
Prog Talk, and I have two guests in studio. My first guest is a musician. He's in a bunch of things. His name is Nick Thorburn. How are you?
I'm great, Vince. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being on my show. And then I've got another person.
Hi. Hi, Vance.
Wait. You're a guitarist?
I am a guitarist.
Nicole Lawrence?
That's correct.
And you play with, like, rock bands?
Yep, I play with rock bands.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So, what is the first prog record you bought, Nick?
Jeez. Probably Amon Duel. Amon Duel 2.
So that's more along the lines of, like, the prog kraut axis.
I suppose so, yeah.
Amon Duel or Amon Duel 2?
Amon Duel 2, yeah.
So is there's a more experimental element.
Correct.
To Amon Duel 2.
Yeah.
Are you also a fan of other bands like Faust?
Yeah, I mess with Faust.
Nicole, what is the first prog record you bought?
I'm going to say Court of the Crimson King.
That's the King Crimson's debut album from 1968.
Yeah, incredible album.
And what's your favorite song on it?
It might be off the top of my head, I Talk to the Wind, I think. But there's so many good ones.
Yes, there's all good ones on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Moonchild.
Yes. This Epitaph is also on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a killer.
Then the vocals on that are done, interestingly,
mm-hmm.
by Greg Lake.
I didn't know that.
Who would later go on to become one-third of Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Right, of course.
He left after their second album, in the wake of Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
Which many feel is slightly derivative of In the Court of the Crimson King. I feel that it is just an extension and continuation of what King Crimson had done.
Yeah, I mean, that record was so influential. How could it not, you know?
Now, which bands do you play with, Nicole?
So I've been touring with Mary Timoney. Mary Timoney plays Helium. I play guitar with her.
Now, is that a prog rock band?
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's 100% prog rock.
And who else?
I'm about to go play a bunch of shows with King Tuff.
Now, is that like King Crimson?
Yes, a lot. It's like King Crimson mixed with, like, ABBA.
Which are not a prog band, although you can say there are elements in certain ABBA songs. Some would say the second side of ABBA.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to the ABBA movie.
Uh-huh.
The Girl with the Golden Hair suite has progressive elements like
yeah.
like the song I'm a Marionette
mm-hmm.
has prog elements.
Very progressive group.
Nick?
Yes, Vince.
When you go and you do some of your music, which prog bands do you listen to before you record?
Well, do you know? Well, you know. Does No Pussyfooting Frippinino count?
Yes, of course that counts because Robert Fripp and Brian Eno from at that point he was just out of Roxy Music. Which would be one of the few bands that you'd consider greaser prog. That you have, the singer looks like an Elvis impersonator.
Right, from,
from the future.
From the future. And from Transylvania, too.
Yes, he looks like if Elvis was a futuristic vampire.
That's right, yeah.
And was also a dandy.
And dashing.
A dashing, yes, and was in a band with other spacemen who were playing music that was very obsessed with the 50s and the future. A song like Remake Remodel is the perfect hybrid of past and future, if you ask me, because it takes the rave up part of the song at the end that Eno takes that to a different place and makes it, and it's almost like he's sending up what a 50s rave up would be by doing electronic squall.
I second that.
So a record like No Pussyfooting, which is Fripp and Eno together, that influential to you?
I would say I lean towards the Eno side of things, but some of Fripp's guitar solos on Eno's solo records are mind-melting. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And the Frippertronics and all that kind of thing. I mean, I'm on the outside of prog looking in, but
yes.
But I'm fascinated by the many notes.
Now, the Frippertronics, many Americans were turned on to that when he appeared on Midnight Special, Wolfman Jack's Wolfman's Midnight Special, and displayed his Frippertronics equipment. And that was an episode I believe Cheap Trick also performed on, who were not a prog band, and as far as I know, still aren't a prog rock band. Although you could say there are prog elements of Dream Police in lyrically. The concept of Dream Police is something that would not be out of place on a Jethro Tull album, perhaps. So with the band Yes, do you feel that the band Queen are lyrically more progressive than Yes? Yes, they're more musically progressive, but Queen sang more about giants and witches than Yes ever did. Well, how do you feel about that, Nicole?
It's hard to compare them. They're so, they're such different animals, you know, and the, I think John Anderson was an elf, correct? Wasn't he an evil elf?
I think he would be chaotic good if he was an elf. He would still not be pure evil.
Right.
He was a whimsical elf.
He was a whimsical elf. Yeah.
Rick Wakeman is a wise wizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steve Howe is a weathered old mage.
Mm-hmm.
What about Trevor Horn?
Well, Trevor Horn, then we're talking about the drama era. Are we talking about Trevor Horn as the producer of 90150 or as Trevor Horn as the lead singer of drama? Yeah, when he joined from the post-Buggles. Well, actually, not post-Buggles. The Buggles were still going, an ongoing concern, when Trevor Horn and Jeff Downs joined Yes. For the drama album.
I just like the Buggles. That's kind of where I land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he would be a scientist. A mad scientist who is trying to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
That's Trevor Horn. And he also worked on records by Frankie Goes to Hollywood and his own band Art of Noise, which are maybe the 80s. Prog continuation of bands like Emerson, Lake and Palmer doing the Peter Gunn theme, mm-hmm. which is something that ELP did.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to put your ultimate prog band together, who would be in the band?
Gotta have Steve Howe.
Steve Howe on guitar.
Yeah.
Can we have Fripp, or did we already... Is he taking...
You can do your own band.
Oh.
You can have Fripp.
Okay.
I'll take Steve Howe.
Who would be the bass player?
Well, my ultimate prog band would just be Yes, I think.
It would be Yes.
It would be Chris Squire, you know.
But what if you got a different singer instead of John Anderson?
That would
what
be,
would
like,
do?
That would be the, yeah.
Like Anthony Kiedis, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one's ever done that before.
Are Red Hot Chili Peppers a prog rock band in any way?
To me, they are, yeah. I mean, I know Michael Rother from Neu. I know we're getting German again, but Neu and you can see the kind of Venn diagram between the Chili Peppers and and Neu and even Kraftwerk to
a. So there's some sort of axis between Kraftwerk and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't think it's been touched upon, but I think you can, if you're looking, you can really see it. So I would put Kiedis in the mix. I would throw him in the mix.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically saying your band would be Yes with Anthony Kiedis as the singer.
And Chad and Flea and Josh, and too.
Would you take Josh? Or
I'm taking
Josh.
I got to take Josh.
So then what you're saying, so you're taking Josh, who's the most recent guitarist in Red Hot Chili Peppers. So basically your ultimate prog band is the Red Hot Chili Peppers with Rick Wakeman.
I would love to have Rick in the mix, yeah. I would love that. With the rest of the guys and Rick, that would be my ideal.
So your prog band is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis, Flea, Chad Smith,
and Josh Klinghoffer
and Rick Wakeman.
That's correct. And Billy Corgan maybe could kind of float in and out. He could just do keys or something with Wakeman.
Sure. And Nicole, which would be your band? It's just Yes.
Yeah, I think it. Well, you know, I'm just so dazzled by the Anthony Kiedis selection. It's hard to know. But yeah, I mean, I would have to have Steve Howe, and I would have to have Chris Squire, and then I would probably have Bill Bruford. So then. Maybe I'd have to think on the singer. That's a tough one.
Dave Grohl?
Yeah, it wouldn't be Dave Grohl for me. That'd be a hard pass.
That's a hard pass?
It's a hard pass, yeah. It's a hard pass on that one. But he does seem so nice, you're right. He seems like a great guy.
I'm not sure if he's as progressive
No.
He seems like he's...
He's met me like a
he
little...
He rocks.
Regressive.
Regressive. I didn't want to say it, but...
Though he's like, not prog rock, he's reg rock.
Yeah, yeah, he's a reg rocker.
Which is the opposite of prog.
Yeah, that's true.
Anna Crestline, you're on the air.
Hello.
Art.
Yes.
You called? You asked me to call. What do you need?
Do you claim to be the Antichrist?
Yeah.
Oh, then there's many questions that I have for you.
I'm Nick Thorburn from Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got your present. Yeah, just open it.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
I don't know if you like
so
it or
much,
not.
Hardware. Oh, a Beach Boys autographed trading card.
Yeah, so you're like you're in a band or what? This Guard War.
I was. I can't open this Guard War. Hold on a sec. God.
God, why?
Okay, I got it.
Because he got like Cardi B on.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get Cardi B.
No, sorry about that.
I got Nick D.
Nick D.
Nick Tiggy T. Thorburn. What's up, dude?
Whoa, this is just a piece of cardboard in the middle. This is a. Yeah, or is this gum?
There might be a signed card in there then. Check it out.
Oh, really? Oh.
Careful.
Carl Wilson, it's signed. It says, I don't want to read that. It's kind of depressing. And Mike Love, who looks like he's in the Manson family in this one.
Yeah, that's what I got you. Now, wait, so you're like in a band, right? You do your thing.
I try.
Look, I don't have these questions written out. That guy, dude, writes his stuff out ahead of time. I'm coming up a little light. I'm the prep. Doot, doot. No, not time for that yet.
That's the end.
Hey, Mike. It's me, Gardevoir. And boy. Oh, brother. I do a lot of planning on this, I gotta admit. Yeah, Beach Boys. Yeah, I got you another thing here.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Brett, what did I know what that
Thank
is?
Thank you so much. This is the Under the Dome. This is two cards from the Under the Dome show.
Yeah.
This is the... Oh, this is a great episode. The fire. So this is when the dome caught fire and everybody died, I guess. And then
yeah,
this
that
is,
was the final one. They all got cooked in the dome.
Cooked in the Dome, I think, was a Cypress Hill joint, too.
How do I get Cardi B on this?
I think...
She did Gardevoir show.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. How's that Kirkland beer treating you? Not good. Not good? Mike wears these shirts, right? He wears barf bibs now when he drinks. Right, Mike? Yeah. Yeah. Wait, Mike's coming in here. Hey. Hey, Gary, what's up? It's me, AP Mike. You know what they call me? Sleeping pill. Because I put everyone to sleep. Talking all about boring stuff. What do you get when you cross... Wait, hold on. Hold on, losers. Hey, did you know AP Mike is so fond of hard luck that he... Oh, that one stinks. When Mike goes to the doc... That's terrible. His Mike's motto is, let a smile be your umbrella. And he always gets a mouthful of rain! Oh, that sucks. Bad by even... This dumb joke book.
It's like a self-help.
Get that out of here. Where'd my Milton Berle book go? Pat stole it. Hey, Pat. You gonna return that Milton Berle joke book? I saw you go through my stuff. You stole my Milton Berle joke book. Good old Pat. Yeah, you stole it. Give it back, you crook. How could you do that to me? Oh, you hid it. That's even worse than stealing it. Okay, Milton Berle jokes. Laziness. Mike can fall asleep in the middle of a nap. Mike doesn't walk in his sleep. He's so lazy, he hitchhikes. Get it? What else we got? Liars, legs, pets, pessimism, pedestrians. Who the hell needs a dumb pedestrian joke? The other day I stopped on a dime. Unfortunately, it was in a pedestrian's pocket. A pedestrian is a man who thought his wife gassed up the car. What's that mean? No. Electricity? How old is this joke book? Making jokes about electricity? He's not a genius. When the power went out, he was stuck on the escalator for 2 hours. All right, that's barely about electricity. Halloween. Oh, this book. Israel. Oh, boy, you're not doing those. This book sucks. Snakes. Smoking. Wait, do you smoke? Anybody smoke? No?
Mm-mm.
Let's see. Unlisted. Unlisted numbers. Okay, I'll do some of my unlisted numbers material. I heard of an unlisted gun store. It only sells blanks! I'm trying to get my unlisted number listed, but I don't know what it is!
Used cars. Nope. Vaudeville. It's embarrassing even for Milton Berle.
You know, this guy was, book.
Yeah. Drowning. What?
It's the Ted Kennedy.
Oh, here we
section.
Go. Drunks and drinking. Hey, Mike. Two drunks were... Okay, now. A.P. Mike and his pal were walking along the railroad tracks. A.P. Mike said, I've never seen so many steps in my life! A.P. Mike drank so much, he lit the candles on his birthday cake with one breath. Oh, boy. Dumb. Oh, here we go. Dumb. No, dull. Dull. Mike lights up a room by leaving it. He's so dumb he can't even entertain a doubt. All right. I'm waving the white flag on this. Here, I got you something. Like Nardwar.
Oh, you did?
But Gardwar.
Thanks, Gardwar. Wow, this is beautiful. It's a Beach Boys Pet Sound model car.
Yeah, just like the car they drove around in when they recorded the album.
It's beautiful.
Deuce Coupe?
That's the car that Brian Wilson and Tony Asher smoked weed in.
Is that the car they picked Charles Manson up in on the way to the back to the crib?
That was Dennis's car.
Oh, right.
So anyway, doot 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 doot. Mike sucks.
So, look, if you're going to do a thing like that, if you're going to go to a King Crimson show, you know Robert Fripp's a sensitive guy already. Why would you yell out, Fripp? I couldn't believe it. It was a disgrace to the people of Red Bank. I could not believe they acted that way at a show. Hey, it's the best show here with Nick Thorburn and our friend Nicole Lawrence. How are you?
Hi.
Now, you, Nicole, you play guitar and you, like, shred, right?
I don't know, Tom.
No, you do. I saw the show.
That's kind of you to say.
It was like a Southern boogie rock thing.
Yeah, the Mary Timony show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you say to Mary Timony, hey, I'm thinking about, what if we take this song and it's 11 minutes long?
Mm-hmm.
If it's slightly longer than Freebird.
Right.
What does she say to that?
Well, the best part of that is that was kind of, I think that was her idea.
Okay.
Well, really?
Well, she's a genius.
She's a guitar right? god.
She really is.
Yeah, she really is.
But you're like her equal.
That's a high compliment. She's it's a real privilege to play with her.
Yeah, it's heavy duty.
It's heavy duty. Yeah, no, she said to me when we were rehearsing, she said, we started playing, and then she said, what if I play a guitar solo, and then you play a guitar solo, and then we can just both play guitar solos? And I said, I've been waiting my whole life for somebody like you to say that to me. So then we started jamming, but I think that it became its own thing. Like, I don't think anyone expected it to become a Southern rock band.
No, because then you literally were doing the thing where you're back-to-back.
We literally do that, yeah.
Yeah, the back-to-back. Have you ever done that, Nick?
Yeah, I have. It feels incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's not planned. It's just what, you know.
Now, when you go, but when you do that thing, mm-hmm. when you share a mic, I would not want to share a mic.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We did not share a mic.
That always seems odd when people crowd in on the same mic.
Yeah, that makes me feel nervous.
It's how we do it in the studio. So it kind of.
Like you all gather around the mic?
Yeah, we have one headphone and one speaker and we just.
And you're like. Okay.
It's part. Yeah, one take. It's
right.
Yep.
We're halfway there. Living on a prayer. The weirdest thing is when you see people just doing just vocal things. It's funny.
Yeah, the acapella kind of.
Yeah. The feel when they hear it in the head. You hear the bleed in the headphones a little bit, and then they're just like. And they're just like they're in the studio, like listening, like, hold me now, I want to watch you hoodwink. They make you stop, think. Like they're hearing the terrible
God That was always, the Bare Naked Ladies is looms large in my life
because of Canada.
Yeah, I think the my first band, the Unicorns. I really my greatest fear was that I sounded exactly like the the Bare Naked Ladies.
Mm-hmm. But which guy?
A combination of Ed and Steven.
So you were like a weird hybrid.
But we were, the Unicorns were a duo, we were like a co-fronted band, so I had this weird fear, not maybe it wasn't even weird, but I was like, are we the new Bare Naked Ladies? It was a...
And the other guy is the one who's like, does the, because the one guy's like, it's Ben.
Right.
Like and that guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like, right, Steven.
Steven.
It's Ben.
He just reformed with at the Junos this year. He just reformed with
the guys?
With BNL, yeah.
And then Ed is the guy who's got that, it's another bling, bling.
You mean
voice.
Golden Pipes? Yeah. Yeah. And he can rap, too, which is cool.
Like a thing when you think of a thing with the, it's like a boo with the thing, right? That song was like, and out your front door. He's always got that, I was under.
Yeah, over-enunciated. That's what I fear I do that, too. Anyway.
But look, so you were scared? Because people in Canada, I think it's great the pride of heroes, where it's just like, no, we back our heroes.
If you were to name any person right now, I could tell you whether they're Canadian or not. Mm-hmm. That's like an inborn kind of skill set that we have as Canadians.
Sure. So if I said to you, who in SCTV is not Canadian, who would you say?
Oh, God. I didn't know there was a non-Canadian, but maybe naturalized citizen?
I think
Andrea Martin?
It might be Andrea Martin. I think you might have just got
my spidey sense is going towards.
Isn't that nuts? I think you just got.
She feels not.
You
Canadian.
Just. There's a part. Yes. An American Canadian.
Right. I knew that she was. She eventually got her citizenship, but something about her was not.
Portland, Maine.
Yep.
You. Oh.
It's not me. It's comes with. The Canadianism.
Sure. Where did you grow up, Nicole?
Western Massachusetts.
It's like out in like Jamascus country.
Yeah, exactly there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, in that area. When I was a kid, he was teaching drum lessons at the music school in my town, mm-hmm. and like everyone in my junior high was freaking out trying to get drum lessons with mm-hmm. him.
Mm-hmm. He's a great drummer.
He's a great drummer, yeah. King Tuff is in Witch with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're in King Tuff now.
I'm in King Tuff's band now, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So let's go back to Canada. Well, Western Mass is its own weird
it
thing.
It is, yeah. It's totally its own weird thing.
Whether it's Supreme Dicks.
Right.
Or whatever. Like, is it kind of dirtbaggy out there?
You know, I haven't lived there in a really long time, but when I lived there, there was, honestly, there was a really good music scene.
And
know?
I mean dirtbaggy in a good way. Look,
oh.
I'm from New Jersey. Yeah. I'm not just like, who do you think I'm hanging out with? New Jersey. It's a dirtbag central.
It was dirtbaggy in the best way, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
I mean in a good way, dirtbaggy.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of people, weirdos walking through the woods.
So that's all it is.
Right?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Canada, it's endlessly. I love Toronto. It's
I know you do. The bat fight, famous.
The famous bat fight on Yonge Street.
Toronto's incredible. It's really, it's like got the best of both worlds. It's got the best of America and Canada wrapped up.
Is that the New York city of Canada?
I think it's maybe the Chicago in a funny way, but it is. It's just so big to me. It's so like spread out. I get a little overwhelmed in Toronto.
Does that mean that like Quebec City is what? Philly?
I would say Quebec City is like Versailles, maybe?
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Like
Quebec City, Montreal is definitely the Philly, I think.
Okay.
I think that's accurate.
Trailer Park Boys.
Never seen an episode, but they are all Canadian.
Yes.
I can tell you that.
Like you could just tell.
Oh yeah.
There's just
an
aura.
Yep.
Coming off of them.
Bubbles, fully East Coast.
You don't even know who that is.
Nope.
But you know.
He's from Halifax.
Yes, you know that's Halifax. Like the Sloan. That is the, when you see those guys, you're just like, oh, you guys are so Halifax. Mm.
Yeah, I can feel them at the Khyber. You know, they're just rocking the Khyber in my mind.
Yeah. Jail.
Jail.
Yes.
Early Sub Pop.
Yes. Back to the phones. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tyler in Portland, Maine.
Tyler in Portland, Maine, home of?
Andrea
Martin, I just said it 15 seconds ago.
Sorry, I just got out of the Mountain Goat show, so I haven't been listening.
That's right. They're in Maine tonight.
I was just there. It was great.
What songs did they do tonight?
Oh, man. They did a lot of songs. They did, I believe they did the song called Going to Maine, which it seems like, one that they don't do very often, but, they did a lot of great songs. I am more familiar with their earlier stuff, but I've been wanting to see them for years now, and finally got to, and it was really fun.
Did they do If I Had $1 Million?
That might have been the last encore song, but I missed that.
That song you like?
But it was very good.
Great. So what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I had a thing for the topic, which I don't know. We spoke last week about boring things. It started with like the BB King guitar talk, and then yes.
Guitar talk you mentioned, is boring to me. No, right. Nicole saying hard no.
Hard no.
And then you talked about fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm. Is that boring to you?
Yeah.
No, sports? But I really find it boring when people have this sort of like a blanket negative sort of smug opinion about sports in general, where they don't like them and they say things like
"Yay, sports ball!"
And they sort of feign ignorance about basic things about sports just to seem sort of above it, and that.
Hit a touchdown. Like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Sports hero. Yeah. Do you have a sports hero, Nick?
Growing up, I was really into the San Antonio Spurs and David Robinson, who is maybe the least interesting sports hero of all time.
Yes, the Admiral.
The Admiral. I like that he was left-handed.
Mm-hmm. Are you left-handed?
I am left-handed. I think I glommed onto that.
Do you know who else is left-handed?
If they're Canadian, I could definitely tell you.
Do you think I'm left-handed or right-handed?
I think you're left-handed.
I am left-handed.
Yeah. Jason Walliner is left-handed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's the guy who did, he does all sorts
yeah,
of
where
stuff.
Do we, we don't have.
Nicole, are you right-handed?
Right-handed.
Oh. Right-handed, yes.
I am, yeah.
Sorry.
You're out.
So you, young man on the phone, do you think guitar talk is boring?
I mean, honestly, not really, but I get why it is to most people, and I'm totally on their side for thinking that, but I'm sort of guilty of it sometimes, but just among friends, hopefully.
Sure. So, Nicole, if I asked you, can you lean up on the mic?
Yeah, sure.
So if I said to you, like, tell me about your favorite guitar, what would that sound like?
Oh, well, I mean, I would start talking about, like, early 50s Telecasters, probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to kick me out of here?
What's your dream guitar?
My dream guitar? I mean, it would either be a 52 Blackguard Telecaster or a 64 SG Standard.
Okay.
Yeah. Or a 59 Les Paul.
All right.
Wow.
See, that's not that. And how about pickups? Let's talk about pickups.
Sure. I mean, it depends on the application.
Okay.
You know?
Well, like, for what guitars did you bring on tour with Mary?
With Mary? So I brought a Strat.
Mm-hmm. I love things that I don't exactly know what they are.
Sure.
So you brought a Strat.
I brought a Strat, which is, a pretty ubiquitous workhorse guitar. You know.
Short for Stradivarius.
It's short for Stradivarius, yeah. And then if you remember I switched guitars during the show and I had a second.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, so I had the one that I was bowing.
Mm-hmm. I booed when you switched guitars.
Yeah, that was you?
No!
I heard that.
Yeah. Don't! Don't switch. Don't switch. Don't switch. I got a chant going.
That guitar was a 60s Tysco guitar that had I'm going to get into the details to really try and bore you guys.
Yeah, tell me.
It had a gold foil pickup in the neck position, and then in the bridge position, it had a Lawler-made Thunderbird bass pickup.
Mm. Wow. Now, Nick, you are
a
guitarist.
I am a guitarist, yeah.
And is that like, are you a gearhead?
I'm a crazy gearhead. Yeah, I'm like I got gear for days. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I rock a Ferndale, with bolts on either side. So yeah. No, I don't actually know. I don't know too much about guitar.
What kind of axe do you sling?
God, it's so stressful to talk about gear because I don't know any. I'm really just a fraud. I don't know how to play guitar at all.
But I play
right-handed.
You must see the name written on the neck of it. At some point, you've seen that there's a name on the headstock.
Not this one. It doesn't have a name on it.
I'm going to get a guitar, and I'm going to get the St. Vincent guitar because it seems expensive and light.
Is that the PRS one or something?
I don't know what it is.
I think Ernie Ball makes it.
Ernie Ball. I use Ernie Ball strings.
I think Ball strings.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier off mic. Slinky.
That guitar is specially designed for women, with women in mind.
Uh-huh. But Jack White played one on Saturday Night Live.
This past weekend?
Yes.
Is that true?
He did, yes.
Well, my goodness.
And then it disintegrated when he touched it because the guitar senses whether you're a woman or
right,
not.
Yeah.
And then it crumbled into dust.
That explains what that was happening.
Did you see that SNL with the George Harrison tribute when Prince played the guitar and he threw it up in the air after he finished and it never came down?
Mm-hmm. No, it's still hovering in the air.
It's a,
because George Harrison has mind powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that when he did that, because Prince could do that. He could play guitar really well on songs that were maybe not the greatest song.
Right.
Like, he kind of ran out of songs at a point. Am I wrong with that?
I plead the fifth on that one.
There's
Prince?
A lot. Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't run out of guitar solos.
No, of course not.
Sure,
no, like I could play guitar all day long.
All day.
But you never hear anybody being like, you know what song I like is the one from that album he put out in 2000. Right, I can't take you anymore with the breathing. I feel like you're going to ask what I'm wearing next. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
He's going to ask what I'm wearing.
He was a Stephen Page fan, I think.
Best Show, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Carl. How are you?
Carl. Carl, where are you calling from?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Ah, home of?
Home of many things, I guess.
Well, give us a couple.
Well, Strom Thurmond.
Yes, the great Strom Thurmond.
The great Strom Thurmond, who has a statue on State House grounds there.
Yes. He's still hanging in there.
He's hanging in there. He's walking proudly.
Yes. He seemed like he was a vampire. Like, he seemed like if he was just like, yeah, I'm part vampire, he'd be like, yeah, okay, makes sense.
You think he was part vampire? I think he was totally vampire.
Okay, I'm sure he was total vampire. Well, he has to at least be a daywalker because we've seen him out and about. It's not like he only showed up at, like, Senate things at night. Like, here comes Strom Thurmond at night.
Vampires have their ways.
Yeah, daywalkers do. Because you know why? Blade was a daywalker. He had all of their strengths and none of their weaknesses because he could operate during the day.
He lived such a long time, though. That's an amazing thing about him.
Blade lives a long time, yes. Unfortunately,
Well, are you still talking about boredom tonight?
I can't say the same thing about Whistler. Speaking of boredom,
we're talking about Strom Thurmond, for God's sake, and the fact that he has a statue on the grounds of the South Carolina State House, which is awful. So,
what is he doing in the statue? I picture he's
walking proudly toward the congressional office, as it were, that was burned down. So there's an actual plaque that commemorates the old State House
that Sherman burned down in his march toward, well, I mean, I think
Sherman
we all know where
burned
he was
it
going.
Down, Thurman brought it back,
he took a match to those grounds and said, let's just say that this is done.
Calm down with this. What else is going on down there? What do you got for the topic?
So I've got many things for the topic, but it's probably already been said that I mean, isn't death, talking about death, as boring as it possibly can get?
Talking about death.
Yeah.
Why would you mean? So you mean people who are obsessed with death?
Yeah. I mean that can take many different forms, but yeah, I think on the whole, death. Yeah, talking about death.
I don't know. I kinda...
And birds.
I think you're allowed to process humanity. Well, the birds part was a little weird thing you tacked on there at the end. Death
Mike
and
Tyson.
Birds. Death and birds, right? My favorite Bob Dylan album.
Are you with there tonight? I don't even know.
So talking, what's that?
Are you with there?
Yeah.
Who are you with? Yeah.
Who am I with here? I'm with Nick Thorburn, the guy from the Critical Podcast.
First and foremost.
And from the band Islands, and the guy who also is responsible, you know how...
Wow, so nobody, in other words, knows who you are.
Oh, drop dead.
You're a troll.
Yeah, you creep.
Oh. I knew that. I recognized that voice. He's a cheap bully. He's cheap. I know him from before. I don't think he's from South Carolina either. He's called in from Baltimore, all kinds of
Mike,
places.
Mike, that guy shouldn't have gotten through. That's marked down on your thing, 2 demerits for that. And that's going to mean, Pat, that's 5 lashes for Mike, because it's 2.5 lashes for each demerit. So, Mike, after the show, you're going to have to take your britches down, and Pat's going to give you 5 lashes. Okay? Look, I don't make the rules, but actually I made that rule. So, Yeah, no, that guy can jump in a lake. Talk about death. There's nothing wrong with talking about death here and again.
It's all I talk about.
Right?
Yeah.
We're allowed to ponder our own mortality. Maybe you don't do it all day long.
Right. You got to talk about...
birds.
Having $1 million, birds, you know.
What do birds and if I had $1 million have in common? They're both songs written by Canadians. Neil Young,
birds, sure.
Right? Oh, Inside.
Inside. Gold Rush? After the Gold Rush?
Yes. New York.
Is he Canadian?
Neil Young?
Yeah.
He is not. He is from California.
Yeah. He was born in a hearse.
He renounced his, he didn't renounce it. He ran and never came back.
Yeah. Do you hear that story about him running into the Stephen Stills at a red light? He was about to leave town and head back to Canada.
Yes, he was like, he came down to L.A., yeah. Is that right? He came down like trying to figure Los Angeles out, and nothing worked for him.
Yeah.
And then he was ready to leave, and then he runs into Stephen Stills right when he's ready to leave, and he's like, hey, Neil! Because like they had met.
Right.
At one point, he's like, look me up, and he couldn't find him.
Right, because back then... Milton Berle has a whole section on this.
In the book?
Yeah.
Missed connections. It is amazing to think that Neil Young was just like, he ran into Stevens, he met Stephen Stills at like some show, and then he's like, yeah, if you're ever in Los Angeles, look me up. And then he comes down, he's just like, I can't get a hold of this guy. And then he's like, I guess I'm going to go home now. It's like it's the strangest thing that, If he would have been fine. He would have gone back.
Yeah.
He would have figured it out.
He would have called Rick James up and got the band.
Yeah. Got the Minor Birds.
The Minor Birds,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing with Stephen Stills, I think it's the funny, when you think of, they form Buffalo Springfield, and he gets this guy, Neil Young, in the band, and this Neil Young just immediately starts taking control of the band, and it forces the band into finally the band blows up. So then Stephen Stills goes off. He forms a thing with Crosby and Nash. He's like the biggest band on earth at that point. And then Stephen Stills, this dunce, goes,
what if we ask this guy who I was in Buffalo Springs with to join this group when they're already huge?
Yeah.
And he, Neil Young joins it and promptly takes control of his second band.
Right.
Like now suddenly it's Young's band.
Should have never have stopped at that red light. He should have burned right through it.
Should have just, yeah. Should have just tore through it, not looked back. Go back to Canada, you bum.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. That's what I say.
Right, Mike? That is what you say now to people. Go back to Canada.
Yeah, now that I live in L.A.
Best show, hi.
I said I'm a snake in Grand Rapids. I've got something for the topic.
What do you got?
I don't know if it's been mentioned. I've been kind of listening on and off as I, you know, commute around tonight. But when people recommend something in depth, whether it's a TV show or a podcast, and just from, like, the first couple words, you just know it's not something you're ever going to listen to or check out.
Uh-huh. Like what?
So, like, any sort of, for me, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I'll, you know, sometimes somebody tells me to listen to podcasts, I'll say, oh, what kind? And then they tell me, you know, some crime thing or, you know, just something I know from my taste. I just know it's not
what's
something I'm ever going to look
what's
into.
What's your favorite podcast?
Is it critical?
So I,
it's not critical.
I listen to a lot. I used to listen to a lot more. But I really just narrowed it down to the best show, which goes without saying.
Thank you.
Which I got into from Hollywood Handbook.
What?
And so it's just...
you know those guys, I'll say this. Look, I love Hollywood Handbook plenty. Check their charity record out. See how much charity they've given to, and then check how much the best show's given to. It's not even close.
Yeah. Sure.
If so I really had a million podcasts.
Yeah, it's just those two, and then I like, you know, the Hamburger Men, too. Those guys
sure,
are pretty good.
Where they're just like, I had the curly fries, and I didn't like them.
Yeah, and then I listen to that, and I'm like, maybe I should go get some curly fries.
Yeah. Well, stop being so impressionable, you consumer.
I know,
clown.
Right?
Get off my phone. I don't know why that. Yeah, puppet. Right, Mike? A puppet. A guy sees a commercial. He goes and eats what's in the commercial. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to reach back here. I have two bags of M&M's. They're special that I saw at the store, and so I bought both of them. One's raspberry and one's mint.
Whoa.
They both seem gross, right?
Let's pop them open.
Yeah, here, try the mint.
Oh, man.
Try the raspberry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Tom. Wow.
Of course.
Wow.
So.
It's share size, if you want
to. It's the two. Oh, no, ever look, please. You can't eat that whole thing. The 2018 Canadian Podcast Awards. With. Musical guest, Bare Naked Ladies, the original Bare Naked Ladies.
Original lineup.
If we had a million podcasts, they would do that. It's been 1 week since your last episode. 5 days since I downloaded the shows. 4 days since I gave to your Patreon. Speaking of which, it's Patreon for The Best Show. Just give it to the thing. Patreon.com/TheBestShow. Best Show, hi. Final two calls, then we're done.
Hi, this is Ben, the mail carrier in Portland, Oregon.
That's right. What's up, Ben?
Hey, got something for the topic.
What do you got?
It's kind of specific, but when people say to their mail carrier, you know, don't bring me any bills today.
Mm-hmm. So anyone who says, like, boring kind of like oh there's
yeah,
no price on this, I guess it's free. If they go in a store and there's no price on a thing, I guess this is free, huh?
Older people talk kind of like ever like you working hard or hardly working.
Yeah, what can I do you for?
I got one guy says to me every day, you working hard or hardly working.
Yeah. And
what do you say? Which one is it? Thank you.
I'm working hard.
That's right. You know what you should say back to him? Don't you know that I work hard? And you know that I play hard, right? And then you go, Palace! right? Did he hang up? He hung up on that. He hung up on my Bonnie Prince Billy jokes. No one hangs up on my Bonnie Prince Billy jokes. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. To whom am I speaking?
This is also Tom.
Good name, good name. What's up tonight, buddy?
Yeah. I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
So, I'm a scientist, and I think my wife would agree that talking about myself is the most boring topic.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever say to her, I am a scientist, and I am super boring? I will
not
talk
like
all day and night about things you just don't know, right?
No, if I said that, that would at least be interesting.
Well, you should do that. If you set it to music, it all goes down easier.
What's a good science song?
She Blinded Me with Science.
Yeah.
Don't say She Blinded Me with Science.
Yeah, Nick just said that. Or you could do I'm a Scientist, which I just sang to you by Guided by Voices.
That's really by Guided by Voices?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know music that well, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess you could, what do you, get your head out of the test tubes, Big Bang Theory, and try to listen to some music now and again.
I should. I'm mostly listening to podcasts when I'm doing something, like, kind of mindless.
Now, what are your favorite podcasts? You should check this podcast out called Critical, especially for a science-minded guy.
Yeah.
You're going to like this podcast, Critical.
It's heady stuff. You probably don't want to be working in the lab while you listen. You got to put your full attention in, but I think you'll get something out of it.
How are those
M&Ms? I will listen.
They're delicious.
The raspberry?
The mint. Do you want to try some of the mints?
I'll try a mint one after.
They're refreshing. Oh, yeah, right.
The raspberry's good?
I actually didn't open it.
I'm doing it. I got
They're
you.
They're delicious. What, am I doing a commercial here for them? You don't have to lie about that. They're delicious.
Well, they're encouraging
us
to
vote. We're not sponsored by M&M.
They're encouraging us to vote, I guess, in the next upcoming election.
For the flavor or for...
Vote Crunchy Raspberry. I don't know who that is, but...
I think it's a Democrat.
Yeah. Well, this bag of M&M says vote for Lyndon LaRouche. This is weird. Right, Mike? My friend, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
I want to just say thank you to my two friends who came down. I got Nick Thorburn. You can catch him. First of all.
I love you, Tom.
I love you too, Nick. The band Islands, they're on hiatus right now for a little bit, right?
Mm, yeah, 5 years.
5 years?
I need at least 5 years sabbatical.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if we can allow that. This guy also did the music to the show Serial. You ever hear that music? Boop, 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 beep, beep, boop. Isn't that how it went?
I think that's how it went, yeah. It was a lot of marimbas, glockenspiel. That's the decree for the NPR-related shows. You got to put some glockenspiel, marimba.
Beep, beep, beep. Right?
Yeah.
And the Serial.
It's been...
I can't do it. It's after midnight. I'm about to turn back into a pumpkin. So, and thank you to my friend Nicole Lawrence, who you can catch on tour with King Tuff.
Thanks, Tom. It was so nice to be here.
Thank you for coming. What's going to be your big move for this tour?
I don't know yet.
You're going to spin the guitar around Steve Vai style? You spin it like you throw the strap around your, you know, like...
Yeah, the moves reveal themselves to me. I don't know what it's going to be yet.
ZZ Top, maybe the buckle, belt
spins.
Buckle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Steve Albini one where you get it kind of...
Around your waist?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't think I can handle that.
Or you could play real high up like John Dwyer. Right? Just no strapless. Just under your neck.
Yeah. Only he can do that.
Highest guitar hold is John Dwyer, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the benchmark. Yeah, he's
it's
the highest.
Like,
yeah, he's widely recognized as the highest guitar in the game.
He's like the guitar equivalent of, like, the neighbor on Home Improvement, where he only saw, like, the upper half of his face.
Yeah.
Across the fence.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, doing that fence thing, but meanwhile, it's like, he's like, oh! He's like, woo! Bound on.
I don't have the reverb. I can't do it. Studio is here. I have the reverb. Mm. Mike loves it, though.
Reverb does so much.
Does it?
It does a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm. But the Critical Podcast, check it out. Check out King Tough on tour. And they do all that stuff. And then I'll be back here next week. And then, look, I got nowhere else to be. You know what that's like. Like Richard Gere and An Officer and a Gentleman. I got no place else to go. I got no place else to go. But I'm going to play on the way out. I'm going to play a song by my friend Nick from his project, from the solo Nick Diamonds. I'm going to play The Sting. It's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, thank you.
So let's listen to this on the way out. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.